Brad Keselowski is going to be shown the black flag.
It's the Black Flag Podcast.
Every fucking week. Fuck, I hate my fucking job.
Race analysis.
Yeah, we're only girls pull hair, so.
Mikey forgets that if they changed the rules and took the champion's provisional away, he wouldn't have been able to race the last 2 years, so.
Occasional alcohol consumption.
Jimmy Johnson is on pit road because I think he's the leader.
And calling people on their shit.
It refrains me from not beating the shit out of you right now because you asked me stupid questions.
This week's Black Flag Podcast is now in session.
Hey, we edged him out. We beat him, so it's all good.
Right down the middle.
My one of the idiots really easy, and Tyler is literally wearing this guy's t-shirt, ironically. And the irony in this is unbelievable. So we're sitting at Big Al's last night, and these two guys that do the, what's it called?
Black Flag Podcast.
They roll into Big Al's, and I've met these guys. They're good dudes. But Mr. Bobby Timmons blows a motor in the middle of Big Al's, under the table. So Kyle, my favorite bartender, walks over and he says, "Real nice, your friend just puked all in my bar." And I'm like, well, first of all, I didn't bring the guy here. Freddie did. But fortunately, one of their friends cleaned the whole mess up because I'm telling you, it was bad.
What's Nick's fault? Nick brought you. You brought that guy.
Yeah, Nick told me to go. Nick. Yeah.
I hate it for him. He like, you know, he's in bad shape, right? And then he just goes and plants his feet right in it. Man,
yeah.
So, but he was in a real great mood when I left. I said, "Hey, just for you, buddy. I'm wearing your shirt tomorrow."
Yeah, you did. But if you're gonna blow a motor, go to the bathroom.
I'm just glad he did it there, not my house, because he stayed at my house last night. So I'm glad
he might have already done it there.
Yeah, there's probably a pile somewhere in my house that I haven't found yet.
That's not fun.
Can't notice the smell.
I wasn't noticing much when I left this morning. So.
I will say
if you're going to show up or not.
We had an instance like.
It's been 1 week since the great disaster of Big Al's. There's three of us at the table, but only one has had a New England Patriots drafted kicker clean up his puke off the floor of a bar
while getting roasted by a NASCAR Cup Series driver wearing his T-shirt.
That's you, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob was what an idiot last week, and we haven't gotten into our weekends yet, but our group chat that Bob is included in would beg to differ that Bob was the biggest idiot of the last 2 weeks. So
I didn't have to go to the hospital.
That. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is episode 265,
yes. I believe.
Yes. Yeah. So we are the Black Flag Podcast. Charlie typically takes us off there, but Brett Griffin actually did as well.
I feel naked right now.
Charlie Sanborn's over to my left at C Sanborn III. Bobby Timmons is over to my right at Bobby Timmons 13 on all things social media. And I am at BSauce96 on all things social media.
Except for Venmo. I got a Venmo request last night for $20,000.
Yeah. So I figured that it would play really well if I just Venmo requested Luke Baldwin, who we'll be talking to hopefully in a little bit, $20,000 for him winning $20,000. And I was just going to post it on social media and just say, like, hopefully he hits the wrong button here, because there's a decline button that is eerily close to the accept. I have actually done that before. Someone literally scammed me. Like, they were using Amanda's photo and they like requested like $65. And I was like, okay, like, I assume Amanda just needed $65 or something. So I clicked accept and I was like, wait, what? Why'd you need $65? And she's like, what are you talking about? Fuck. Imagine if Luke had a $5 fucking overdraft fee for $20,000.
But we forgot Luke's 17 and doesn't have Venmo.
He doesn't. Yeah, I don't even know that he's allowed to legally by Venmo. But yeah, so anyways, this is episode 265.
It sure is. Wes.
Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, it's been great. It's Monday, right?
It is
Monday. I have the worst headache I've ever had in my entire life, I think.
Pretty bad.
We're fresh off the great ice storm of 24, boys.
My shoes are still wet.
Mm-hmm. My whole body hurts. My entire weekend was an absolute stunning classic Sanborn fuck show. I don't know what you boys did.
Mine too.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
You just became a Sanborn for the weekend.
I did. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Our fuck shows interjected at some points.
Multiple for times, once, I believe, after being the shit show of the year leaderboard holder spot, had a genuinely relaxing weekend.
Did you leave the house?
I did on actually all 3 days, but got real out of hand Saturday night, fell off the wagon and had upwards of four beers. So.
Jesus Christ. Hang on to her, pal.
Yeah.
So I guess we can probably just start at the old knife shoe match, right?
Well, if we're going to go on our weekends, I got to start on Friday.
Oh, boy.
My weekend started early. Ended up getting home from Hickory and realized that, like the Venmo transaction, I was blackout drunk at an Iron Thunder, and I volunteered to go to a Hockey East tournament at the Garden, was absolutely something that I wanted to do. But just when I woke up the next morning, I didn't remember necessarily buying the tickets. I did. So as the week's going on, basically, I had to pick up a BFP order. And I was like, oh, it makes more sense to go pick that up because that's already self, and then just catch a train in Wells or something like that. It makes perfect sense. So takes me about Tuesday, Wednesday to finally go on the Amtrak site. And I'm like, all right, you know, at Wells, the fucking train leaves like 12:30 perfectly. They're perfect. Like, went to go try to book it. It's like sold out. I'm like, huh, that's fucking weird. And I was like, well, maybe the one out of Portland's fine. Think it's the same exact train. So I tried to book out of Portland, sold out as well. I'm like, well, that's a shit show. And I know good buddy Ty is on this train. Mm-hmm. And I was going to go with Ty because everyone else was driving down. It was Cam Jackson, Ryan Jackson, and C-Money going down separately. Ty and I were going to take the train. So already fucked on that. So I'm like, all right, I'll just take the bus. Book the bus. So then Ty cancels his train, takes the bus. So now we're on the bus. 12:30, Ty grabbed like 4 to 5 beers.
Can you drink on the bus?
You know what's actually surprising is it does not say anything in their informational video that they play you when you get on the bus about drinking.
You can't. That's really the key part.
Exactly. Yeah. It says like no smoking, whatever you do, absolutely no smoking. Please don't smoke. And then it's like buckle up and you're like, awesome. And that was it.
Is that technically would Greyhound be liable for an open container?
I don't know, but I can guarantee you
the same as like a limo license. I know if you have a limousine license, you're allowed to carry passengers that drink.
So that's probably it.
We may or may not have a friend of the program from the great state of probably not Michigan who has a limousine license and drove us around Florida in a minivan and said, it's okay if you drink, I got a limousine license.
No one's specific though.
No.
Michigan's a big state. A lot of people live there.
If that were to happen.
Yeah. And honestly, if a cop was to come on the bus or something,
something egregious would have had to have happened.
You could just shove him under the seat.
And if he looked at
the beer cans.
If he looked at Ty,
him too though.
I don't
recommend that.
if he looked at,
let me touch your gun,
Ty or I.
Can you tase me?
He absolutely would have realized that we do not have a Greyhound bus license. So we were probably not going to be.
Well, no, the guy driving it does though.
Yeah, but he's not drinking.
I hope at least one person.
Well, no,
having the license, though, means you as passengers can have an open container.
Exactly. And we're as far away from him as possible, so he's not going to get drunk off the aroma.
Can't even look up in the mirror and say, I'm going to turn this bus around.
Exactly. That's how long those buses are. The seats are very high. It's a whole thing. There's people smoking in the middle, so it's foggy. They can't see it.
It did say
absolutely no smoking. And there was a fella in there. One of the rules is also, please be courteous to the people around you. There is no speakerphone phone calls that are allowed or playing music through your speakers. Like, please wear headphones. And the nice African-American fellow that was sitting directly in front of us was playing all of his music as loud as humanly possible. And I brought headphones and Ty and I were having, you know, good old conversation. And this guy is not jamming. He's just playing it like, I don't know that he
was it good music at least, or was it like skibbity beat up?
No, it was pretty good. Honestly, like I'm jamming, Ty's jamming.
Back that one up a little bit, Bob.
There's numerous times where, you know, Ty and I are like fist bumping, like jamming, and there is so many Karens from like row in front of him to like the front of the bus. They're turning around just like, hey! Hey, your headphones are unplugged. The guy's just not even wearing headphones. So I posted on my Snap story a video. It's just like people before headphones. The guy's literally just holding his phone in front of his face, just listening to music as loud as it can play out of his phone.
Just totally not self-aware.
His world on his bus, and you're all lucky to be on there.
Yeah, one of my favorite things in the world.
$23 to get the bus.
He's working on his DJ set before he plays at a nightclub in Boston that night.
In front of eights of people.
Going back, this guy was not playing anything other than hardcore drugs when he got to Boston.
The recorder.
Yeah. Hot cross buns.
Yeah.
What a useless fucking thing that's in my brain. All of our brains.
Now that I think about it, I mean, like the butane lighter probably wouldn't help with the plastic inhalation, but you could probably get pretty high off a recorder.
Excuse me?
Pack that thing like it's packing 7 or 8 bowls
I guess
at
it
once.
Would, because you have all the holes on the top, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just have to like hold the end
of it.
It's
literally a Super Bowl.
Superb owl.
Yeah, we can't say that. We'll get sued.
It's one of those as NFL. Well.
Right.
So anyways, Ty and I are on this bus and we're getting hammered and we're jamming to the dude in front of us. Buns. Yeah, Hot Cross Buns.
Isn't Hot Cross Buns and Three Blind Mice like the same song?
I would assume.
Sounds like a lawsuit.
We'll cut that out. Anyways, so we get to Boston, 2:15. Nothing. C-Money and all the guys are over at Regina Pizzeria over on the north end. We're like,
there's Regina.
Regina. Mm. So we walk out of Cell Station, and I'm looking for an Uber, and Ty's like, let's just take a taxi. And I'm like, I've literally never in my life been in a taxi in my life.
Instead of all needing an app, you just have to wave your hand.
Yeah, you have to wave your hand and pay a little bit more money. It's awesome.
Yeah, you know who doesn't like Uber? Taxi drivers.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so we jump in this doohickey. This dude speaks not a lick of English, but he
was
knew,
it like
he
the prototypical
we
yellow one with the checkered stripe?
And no, it was actually a white one that just...
Nice Hyundai Sonata beat to fuck.
It was like...
no. Tire marks on the doors.
It was like a newer like Toyota Sierra.
Hanging off
it was like a newer Toyota Sienna minivan, and I'm watching like the ticker go up every time like he's driving. Like, or
was it the one that they filmed the movies in?
No, this wasn't. No, we weren't playing any games. Click, and if we were, we weren't going to understand what that guy
was
saying.
So it was a real taxi.
It's
if you know
click,
what I'm saying,
click, taxi yeah. doing oh. business as taxi.
Yeah, it wasn't a fake taxi.
No, yeah, oh. yeah, and I was able to walk when I left it, so it was everything went well. So we get over by the pizza place, and I've been there 4 or 5 times. It's been over a year since I have. And the guy pulls up to this intersection. He just goes, where is it? They moved it. It used to be right here. I'm like, buddy, I have
did
no
he say
idea.
Just like that?
Yeah, he literally did.
The Boston no. Garden. It was right here. Man.
They moved it. Yeah, he's like, they moved it. It was right here. I'm like, oh, fuck. And he like just peeks a little bit over to the right. He's like, oh, it's right there. I'm like, all right, perfect. Drops us off. We walk inside.
They moved the building.
Right as we get there, Chris, Ryan, and Cam are all just like, yeah, we're leaving. I'm like, that's awesome. We just spent $15 on a taxi that we almost perished in to get over here. Whatever. I'll just grab a couple slices. We'll fuck off. I go up to the front. Can I get 3 slices from Ty and I? We'll split them. They're like, yeah, pay. The lady goes, if you don't mind, just please wait outside. And I was like, well, my friends are sitting over here on the like right-hand side. Like, I'm just going to go say what's up to them, and then I'll go out. So I go over, say what's up to Chris, walk back towards the door, and there's some dude that looks like he just climbed out of a sewer. And he walks in. He goes, 3 slices for Brad. Ty goes, yeah, that's ours. And he goes, hey, you get told to stand outside? Ty goes, yeah, we just went and saw our buddies real quick. And he goes, yeah, how about next time you get told to stand outside, you do what you're told?
Yeah, but makes next time job. You go fuck yourself, yeah. Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah. I was like, you eat my ass there, pizza
I was like,
boy.
Fuck you, you fucking loser. You're working at a pizza place. And I just grabbed the slices and walked out. And I felt good because there was a nice little laughing pop out of the people that were outside the door waiting where they were told. In the bullpen, if you will. Mm. Anyway, so
you very much did something wrong, and then
but it was going to be his fault. Like the way he was giving his attitude, it's like you would have thought I brought like an AK-47 in there, and he's just like, "You're not allowed to have that," and you're like, "What?" Like he was just like freaking out. Like there was actually a huge problem here, and all it did was take him an extra 10 seconds to walk back up the stairs. But anyways, so we leave and we're like, yeah, let's go grab some beers at the liquor store on the way to the where they park the truck, which is next to the garden. We'll have some beers. So we do. And walk into the garden. First game starts at 4. Our tickets are up in the balcony. We get up to section 313, sit down. We are getting engulfed by Boston College fans. We are in the Boston College student section. And this is a Boston College versus UMass game. It's the first game, 4:00. And so everyone's standing up around us and we're all just sitting down like we gotta go like right now. So Chris is the perfect like, oh, I see seats open down there. Let's go grab those seats.
He's so
at any
funny
event.
When he does that too, because he'll walk down to 4 random open seats and be like, Jesus, guys, look at the fucking deal I got on these seats. Aren't these great seats? We did it at a Sea Dogs game. The entire section was empty, and Chris just pulls that whole charades game at a Sea Dogs game.
Oh, dude, the amount of times that I've gone down right behind the home plate at the Sea Dogs, and then someone comes down, they're like, hey, can I see your tickets? And Chris is like, oh, yeah. It's like digging around his pockets. He's like, oh, babe, you have them? Miranda's like, no. He's like, oh, fuck. I think I must have dropped them or something. We just had to walk back up where we fucking came from. But so we end up going down. And it ended up being that we went down to like one section and then we ended up fucking getting up and leaving. And I'm like, fuck this. Fuck those guys. Like, I'll just go sit where we're supposed to sit. So I'm walking up the stairs and I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to be around that many college humans screaming about a game that I don't really care about.
So while you're wearing your main jersey.
Well, I didn't. Yeah. So whatever. I didn't really care much about those two teams anyway. So I just go find wherever they're sitting right behind both the benches. Great seats, of course. Chris found some deals. And so we sit down, we turn around, there's three Brohasses that are UMass fans, and then there is a row of eight Brohasses that are all UMass fans behind them. So a member of our group starts mouthing off to them pretty viciously. And these kids look like they were...
Cam is pretty mouthy.
Yeah, he was really laying it on him, you know. So
I think I've heard him speak twice.
They turn around. One of the group members turns around and just goes, "Hey, fuck you, Mass!" And it's already like 3-1 BC, and they're just like, "Yeah, man, like just trying to watch the game." And he's like, "Fuck you, Mass!" And they're like, "Yeah, I mean, dude, we're doing pretty bad, man. Like, we're going to lose for sure."
We graduated from there 22 years ago. Like, yeah. We're just here for something to do on a Friday.
These kids were, like, just not having it at all. Like, they for the first chirp, maybe they were fine, but then it just kept going on and on. And, like, even to the point where, like, I'm sitting there and I'm just like, yeah, just don't listen to him, man. You know, like, we're all fine. We're just talking shit. Like, it's not harmful by any means. Yes. So then,
don't fight us.
So then, the member of our group definitely, the member of our group definitely, Cam, turns around when they scored the seventh goal to make it 7-1 BC. Mm. It just goes, "Fuck you, Mass! You guys fucking suck! Oh, like you fucking go home, whatever." All this stuff, and these kids are just like, "Dude, like, shut up!" And to the point where we're going to use air quotes, Cam gets up from his seat and sits down right smack in front of these kids, and at this point, like. They're just like, "I've had enough." So one of them gets up and goes and gets an usher. And the usher comes out now with three black poloed security guards. Mm. And I am just now, like, I can see him on my peripheral vision. I'm just staring at the ice. And I just go, "Cam, Cam, stare at the ice." And Cam, in air quotes again, looks at me and just goes, "Dude, what? You can't take a chirp?" I'm like, "I don't think security gives a fuck what you say right now." Like, you probably shouldn't go chirp security because you're going to have a really bad rest of the night.
Hey, yo, fuck the black vest. Yeah.
So I'm
fuck the 6.7.
I'm like, "Stare at the ice. Whatever you do, do not look at the usher or the security guard. Stare at the ice." And I can see that motherfucker is staring right through my head. And like behind me is security. And I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be so bad." So the period ends. Mm. I go take a piss. So does everybody else except for actually Cam. Cam was sitting there. Security comes down to actual Cam and just goes, "Hey, you guys are causing a problem. You guys are, you know, really disrupting all the people behind you. We're going to have to ask you and all your group to leave." And Cam's like, "What did I do?" And I'm just like, "No, it was a member of your group, and they said that it was you." And Cam's like, "That wasn't me." And they're like, "All right." And they just like fucked off. So we all come back. And we all come back.
They realize that Cam does not speak.
Yeah, we all came back to the exact same seats. And, you know, in the middle of, I guess, towards the end of the game, it's like 8-1 now. Like, BC was just rolling over UMass. And a member of our group that may or may not have been the one that was mouthing off to all the fans had disappeared. And so, you know, Chris goes, "Yo, where'd Ty go? Where'd Cam go?"
I hope you don't edit that out for real.
I won't.
Because you were doing so good at not saying his name. And I knew it was coming. I knew you were going to fuck that up at some point. And you said it, and then you immediately knew you fucked it up.
I'd already dismounted from actual Cam getting yelled at. So I'm like, "Oh, I have no idea." And he's like, he's trying to get us like upgraded up into the suites. And I'm like, "Bullshit, we ain't getting up into the suites. Fucking, we're about to go to jail, let alone the suites." So all of a sudden, Chris goes, "Yeah, come on, he's got us up there." I'm like, "What? No fucking way." Sure as shit, we walk right up past the fucking like valet looking motherfucker, right up towards the suites. We're standing now in a suite bar overlooking the ice with like TVs all around and shit. And I'm just like, there is absolutely no way that this motherfucker just went from about to be kicked out 5 minutes ago to now we're in a suite. Like,
not without a very big pending credit card charge.
Was it just like going down the hallway, seeing whatever door was unlocked and like, "Oop."
Well, we'll get there. So the suite is legitimately like, it's pretty, just the suite level. And we're at like a bar that has bar stools that overlook like a row of seats for like people that actually buy a suite, I assume. And then like the bar is just right behind you and you can look at the ice right in front of you, TV and stuff. Like you're not in your own.
Are we talking like the corners of the Civic Center or like the actual suite part?
Yes, the Boston Civic Center.
Well, you know what I mean? Like the same.
It was kind of in the same area as those ones at the Civic Center where it's kind of like based in the corner, but like there's nothing obstructing your view because it was built normally. And
it wasn't giant concrete pillars holding the roof on.
Yeah.
So the middle of your suite.
So you're sitting, you're on the suite level, but you're sitting right in front of the bar, but it was all of our friends doing so, and there's a couple people on each end, whatever, standing around. So we're like, this is sick. So the UMaine game's about to fire off. Look over to my left,
about to go green.
I see C Money sitting in an actual suite, like two suites over. And I'm like, the fuck is C Money doing over in that suite? Well, there's these two kids that, you know, are wearing the stereotypical like senior in high school, freshman in college get up. Like these two,
like sandals, black socks halfway up their shins, and like a black hoodie.
Well, they were wearing a gray hoodie with like one of those like really like lazy kind of flat hats on backwards that said something about lacrosse, I assume.
Yeah,
and
nice STX lax like lanyard.
Yeah, 100%. So kind of he's being. Chris is sitting in with those two individuals, and I'm like, how the fuck did Chris weasel his way in with these two kids whose dad bought a suite? Like that's crazy. Think nothing of it. So we're sitting there forever, and then we had now met up with Ty's college buddy, Donnie, and Donnie's dad. I guess Donnie's dad used to play for like the Providence Bruins, kind of sick. I think he's probably the reason why we were in the suites to begin with. So Donnie's like, yeah, you want to go over to the suite with Chris? And I'm like, I mean, I guess. Are those two kids fine with us coming in? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. All right, cool. So now it's all of us in our own suite with these two random kids that we don't know. Like you have your own bathroom, you have your own like fridge that had like Coca-Cola in it or something, and the bar is still like right there. So we're like, this is sick. Like we're sitting in these sick chairs, like up in the suite level. Like, how do we fucking manage this? Like, this is awesome.
So first class by Jack Harlow playing on the speakers.
Yeah, pretty much to the point where like we're going to go like go on beer runs and stuff and come back. And Cam Jackson at one point comes and goes, hey, who do I have to thank for getting us up here? And I was like, I assume one of those two kids.
I literally have no idea.
I was like, I assume one of those two kids. Like, I have no idea. And he just goes and he like steps down and like Cam, like everyone said, like doesn't talk that often. So he was just like, hey, boys, I just wanted to thank you for the suite. And they're like, oh, your buddy just opened the door. I'm like, wait, what? They're like, yeah, your buddy just opened the door and we just followed him. It's like, oh, all right, cool.
So
like,
Chris opened the door.
Yeah.
And these other two random. Like, oh, I'm going to be friends with that guy.
Well, boys, aren't these great fucking seats I got?
Yeah.
The same thing as earlier.
Exactly.
How long did this last?
So it lasted until... No, it lasted for the entire UMaine game, which Cam was sleeping for. And
quote Cam.
Well, no.
Not real Cam.
Actual Cam.
Well, maybe.
Quote Cam.
We'll let the viewers and listeners decide. But so
yeah, use your imagination.
As we're sitting there...
Does it rhyme with Schmai? Schmai Schmonson.
Ty's buddy Donnie goes, hey, do any of you boys need another drink? Like, it's on me. And I'm like, no, like, I'm good. Honestly, like, I have a fucking Nooner still sitting here. And, like, a couple other people were like, yeah, I'll take one, whatever. So he's like, all right, like, I'll be right back. So this is, like, has to be probably the end of the second period. Like, we've already watched basically them remake the ice, first period, intros, all this stuff.
Eating all the food, drank all
through the
beer.
Through the second period. And he comes back and he just goes, oh, guys, I got a bottle of wine. And he has a bunch of cups. And I'm like, well, that's fucking weird. Like, you went to go get Coors Light and you came back with wine. I mean, like, power move, I guess, but whatever. So then he just goes, yeah, I just got it from the suite next to us. Puts it down on the fucking counter. In walks dude with a bright blue Patagonia vest, of course, his wife, who was dressed eerily similar, and then another male who was probably his brother or something. And they just walk in there. They just go, who just stole that bottle of wine from our suite? And I was like, buddy, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I'm literally drinking like a Coors Light or whatever the fuck I had in my hand.
Oh,
that
you
time.
Mean this one?
No, it's literally sitting right in front of Donnie. And Donnie just goes, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. And these motherfuckers turn around and the lady goes, oh, he's probably in the bathroom. And they walk out of the suite. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I'm sitting there and I'm like, there's no way we get away with this, right? Like, there's no fucking way we get away with this. And then all of a sudden, like, knock on the door gets opened. It is security.
The same guys from earlier.
No, it's not the same guys. But it's a new batch of them. It's all three of those people that just walked in with like the head of security, two guys in polos, like three people in vests, and like
SWAT team.
Yeah, and so
a helicopter.
They all walk in.
It's, the dogs are coming.
They all walk in, and I'm like
giant German shepherds.
I heard sirens in the middle of a hockey game. It was so weird.
Helicopter just sprays through the ceiling. Bombs are dropping.
I'm standing up, like overlooking everything, and this is right behind me, and I can't hear what's going on, but I am pretending like I have no idea that it is happening to begin with. I'm just watching the game, just arms crossed, and you know, like Ryan and Cam are coming up and being like, "Yeah, this isn't good, boys." Like, you know, Donnie and his dad are trying to take care of it, and I'm like, "Did they leave yet?" And they're like, "No, they're literally right there." And I'm like, "Bah, whatever." Like just pretending like it wasn't happening. So then one of our group members, Cam, had fallen asleep, had already told me about, you know, how he had to wake up for his kid at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and was up all day, just didn't get much sleep, felt like shit, and fell asleep. And then security, when they came in, they were like, "Hey, we need to see you guys' tickets." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm with them." And they're like, "Yeah, they don't have tickets." I was like, "Oh, okay." So I just stepped down and I'm like, "Hey, Cam, like, you got to get up. You know, I know you're tired, but you got to get up, bud."
Hey, buddy.
pulled Cam up by the arm. Cam, you know,
weekend at Bernie's situation here.
Slouches back down. I'm like, "Hey, no, he was just good." The lady's like, has he been all right? I'm like, "Yeah, he was literally just standing up, hanging out with us. Like, he just fell asleep." I'm like, "Hey, no, Cam, come on, bud." Falls back down in the seat. And the lady's like, "Okay, sir, this is my problem now," and like boxes me out, and I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And so now I'm like trying to get like over her shoulders, and I'm like, "Ah, fuck this." Turn around, walk out of the suite.
Grab your beer and hit the road.
I grab my beer, walk straight out of the suite. Cam Jackson comes up to me and goes, "Yeah, bud, we're getting kicked out." I looked right at him, didn't say a word, hung a left, went right to the bar, stood there, watched the rest of the third period. In the meantime, Donnie, his dad, Cam, Ryan, and Ty all get kicked out of the arena.
Perfect.
I left off Chris because Chris had not gotten kicked out of the arena yet. So
the orchestrator.
I don't know why, but Ty ended up going to the hospital in an ambulance. Like, obviously.
As one does.
They're just like, "Yeah, sir, like, you need to come with us." So he ends up going to Mass General. So we're in our group chat, and I'm standing by the bar, and everyone's like, "Yeah, we're outside, like, on Legends Way, just standing here." And I'm like, "Boys, the game's getting good. They just scored fucking 3-1. And I look over to my left, and Chris is sitting in the suite again.
And I'm like, "The same one."
Yes, the exact one. And I'm like, "How the fuck did this kid manage it?" So I text him. He goes, "Oh, I was just in the bathroom the whole time." This motherfucker sat in the bathroom for the entire process. So I'm standing by the bar. I'm like, "Dude, let me in. Like, let me into the suite." So Chris is like, "Dude, if we do it, it's gonna have to be really quick." So I'm like, I look around the corner, there's no one outside the door, and I'm like, "All right." So I walk up to the door, he opened it perfectly, executed it, closed the door. We're like, "Thank God." Sit down, we're watching the game. All of a sudden, nope, not even any knocking. Just two humans just come and like tap us on the shoulder, and we're watching, like getting really into it.
"Hey, what's up, bud?"
They're like, "Where are your tickets?" And we're like, Oh, yeah, shit.
"Babe, you got them?"
"Babe." It's just Chris and I in there. "Yeah, babe, you got the tickets?" No, so I'm like patting around and I'm like, "Oh, fuck." And I'm like, "The guys that you kicked out actually had our tickets." And they go, "Yeah, they didn't have any tickets. That's why we kicked them out." And I was like, "Oh, shit. Well, we were with them." And they're like, "Yeah, you're not allowed to be here." And one of the security guys was just late to the party, just goes and looks at Chris and I and just goes, "Yeah, man, we had a little problem in here earlier tonight. There was a couple guys. We're going to try to get them for breaking and entering.
Up to no good."
Yeah, they're up to no good, and we had to throw them out. And Chris goes, "No way, dude." And Chris and I are like, "Oh, fuck, like, let's leave." So we take the exact same path that I took. I was like, "Chris, just go to the left. We just hang a left and just disappeared and went and sat down, like, right behind the benches for the rest of the game.
Let's disappear. Behind the head coach. Yeah. Right in front of the camera.
Yeah. Or live on Nesson. So, yeah, we're sitting there and fucking, I'm looking on Snapchat. And this is when I, like, realized, I was like, "Ty's at the hospital? Like, what the fuck?" So he ended up being at the hospital for, like, 20 minutes, ended up getting charged like $30, and then just went home with Donnie. And I was like, "All right, like, the fuck was the point of that?" But basically, it was quite an adventure, and man, ended up getting their dicks kicked in. But
what was even funnier is I, from like 7 o'clock to midnight, just threw my phone on my nightstand and just didn't pay attention to it. So at midnight, right before I go to bed, I'm like catching up on all this, and I'm like, what an electric thread of events this is. Because there's the text threads, and then there's the actual Snapchat. So it's like a little bit of conversation. Cam slouched over in his chair. Chris taking selfies in the bathroom. Like, I'm hiding in the bathroom, guys. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? I'm trying to piece all this together. And it was hysterical to read.
I just can't get over the fact that, like, they are out on Legends Way, kicked out of the arena, not allowed back in. And I am just standing at the bar. I'm like, I got away with it. And I look to my left and Chris is just sitting like nothing fucking happened. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. And then when those guys came in, yeah, we had a little problem in here. A couple guys up to no good earlier tonight. Chris is like, dude, no way. There's popcorn everywhere, fucking cans everywhere. It looks like a war zone. Chris is like, ah, yeah, they look like real fucking trash pandas over here.
Disrespectful people.
Yeah. It was quite an event. So
that was Friday.
So we do, yeah, that was Friday. We do have a running with Bob for a weapon of the last couple weeks, at least. And the boys in the group chat seem to think that Ty takes the cake over Bob, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it's a pretty good heated race there.
That was a way better story. Mine, I just...
You had a top. You just did a top body at a bar.
Yeah. In front of Brett Griffin and Freddie Kraft and Tyler Reddick.
That is tough. That's tough. Bad publicity is still good publicity, I guess, right?
I had a lot of t-shirt requests last week, so that's good. Shout out Tyler Reddick.
That is good.
Also, if you think you're clever and hilarious by asking me how much I pay people to wear my shirts, it's -$25 and -$40.
That means they pay you.
Correct. Mm. Getting real tired of that one. Mm.
I'm just going to try to call Luke Baldwin here because I did tell him 7 o'clock and I looked up and a story ran long. There was a lot of different pieces to that.
Oh, it's not even seven.
Well, I know, but
that's scab idiot.
He's got a fucking go-kart event going on. But yeah, we have a whole lot of content to talk about from this past weekend going into Saturday where we were all at a Maine Mariners game. And Luke's probably doing hot laps in his fucking go-kart.
We'll just have him call us back.
Yeah. I mean, that's perfect.
Let's leave him a voicemail.
Please leave your message for 7.
Nope, no.
No, don't dox him.
Fuck. Yeah, that would have been good. But yeah, so anyways, we had a Saturday.
Yeah, it was the annual motorsports night at the Maine Mariners, and every year the weather gets progressively worse for this event.
I'll say the first one just kind of drizzled, maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. Last year was full-blown rain.
I actually feel like the first one was nice, but it was just condensed because we had to have it on a Friday because it was like super last minute.
It was,
maybe it rained during the day, but
it rained, but it was going to lift by like 2.
And then last year,
it was like a question mark too.
Like last year was same. Like we all unloaded in the rain, but it eventually dried up, but it was still kind of cool. This year was just a full on just shit show.
Yeah. It was the ice storm of 24.
Mm. It was
not good. Not good at all. But, it was kind of a, but we'll just be straight. It was kind of a shit show leading up to the whole hockey game. We'll
briefly sum it up and just saying we miss you, Christian.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
There's a lot of things that...
He's not dead. He works for the World of Outlaws
now. He is still with us, just not... You get it. But there's probably just classic miscommunication. There was a lot of things that we thought were going to happen that didn't end up happening, and we thought we were going to do stuff that we didn't end up doing, and... It is what it is.
I will say the improvisions, though, were good. Like they did work with us and made it up to us. So yeah, it wasn't all bad.
Long story short, we'll come back 2025, build back better, you know?
That wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take our fucking land.
The improvisions that Bob talked about, we had a nice little merch table set up. We sold upwards of, I think, 4 shirts.
We did actually sell more than... Not more than I anticipated, I guess, because you always kind of want to set the bar high, but it was definitely more than I thought that we would get.
Because it's tough in like that kind of situation. You know, the people that are coming to the game that already know us probably already have our merch.
Also, you're competing with every other table that's giving away free shit.
And it's not like we are a hockey podcast, despite this whole show so far being about hockey. So like just normal ass Mariners fans, they are just like, is this free? No. Okay, so we gave away a bunch of stickers and koozies just to make people feel good, but
yeah, it ended up. It ended up being a net positive, regardless.
Yeah, tax write off, anyways.
got some publicity. Got about 2 new followers on Instagram. So
got to watch the Busch race and the what's that, concourse area
where our table was set up.
Yeah. So yeah, no, we had a time. Like I said, part of the improvisions also was we got to participate in the orb ball. Right? Is that what they're called?
I don't know. They look like it.
Orbs.
Yeah.
Balls.
Yeah.
Spirits.
We had a big ball race.
Who had the biggest ball? I think it's what.
No, wasn't that.
Oh. No. Who has the most balls?
No, definitely wasn't that. It was the who doesn't listen to directions well race.
I don't think that's the case, but
Charlie looked like Chris Ogilvie out there in the fucking
we did have a driver's meeting.
We get in these fucking big blow up ball things and we got our hockey helmets on and we put them on backwards in memory of switchboard.
We got to let these people know how. So I've always wondered how you're strapped in there. You're supposed to wear it like a backpack, but when you're wearing it like a backpack, it is so far like above your head. And I even like loosened them as far as it would go to try to like get it to sit back down, and it wouldn't. I just ripped the whole strap out of it. So I put it back in like very lackadaisical, but you're holding, you have handles. And you're supposed to wear it like a backpack. Well, Bob and I had ours like around our...
I couldn't even get my arms through it.
Yeah, it was very uncomfy, and it was right around like my fucking elbow area. And I thought it would be fine, because I've seen them obviously race in the past, but yeah.
Yeah, so
we were going to make it like a vintage race. We're like, let's stage it. Like the plan was like I was going to throw a slider on Charlie into one and wreck him, and Brad was going to take the lead, and then Brad, where he's injured and crippled lately a lot, we were probably going to pass him again and wreck each other again. Mm. A whole thing. And I legitimately brought a green and a checkered flag so that Beacon, the seagull that is the mascot of the Mariners.
I think he's a puffin.
He's a seagull. Yeah. We live in fucking Maine. He's a seagull.
A sky rat.
Yeah. Throws the green flag and Charlie takes off running like his life is on the line.
See, I don't think that's the case, boys. We did have a driver's meeting. We went through this whole plan and I was all on board. Now, I will say I did have brand new shoes on. They were kind of siped for traction. I will say that. Mm. Not a lot of softener used, if any. I should say that. There was no tire.
Still awaiting shoe samples.
There was no shoe.
Send them out to Blue Ridge Labs.
There was no durometer rule. I will say that. But no, so I was the only one that actually used like half a brain cell and I picked it up a little bit.
Yeah, so you could actually make a full stride.
I could use my legs.
Yeah.
So I just take off.
Brad and I looked like puffins running across the ice.
So I think I'm just at like, and also when you do that, you can't really see shit because you're looking.
That was my main thing.
You're looking through a bubble. So I'm just like, all right.
Would help out a lot.
I'm just going to go when the green comes out. And I legitimately am just at like a brisk jog, in my opinion. I could have run faster. You're saying I looked like Cheetah out there, but I wasn't.
Yeah, if you ran a 4.2 flat.
So I get,
you were mock running.
Well,
you were on a mock run, and Brad and I are just scuffing. I look over at Brad, and I look back forward, and you're gone. And I'm like, well, I can't really wait for Brad anymore, so I got to go.
So anyway, I pick this thing up so I can use my legs, and I get down into turn one, fully expecting to get fucking cleaned out from behind. Like, I'm waiting for it. Well, I started to slow down so I can make the corner, and I look back, and y'all motherfuckers are straight away behind me. I'm like, well, if I'm going to win, I might as well make it big at this point. So
you never even turned to look.
You, I didn't.
Fuck you, I remind you.
I got down to turn one, you and never I looked turned like, to look.
You fucks, where
you
are you?
You never once turned around and looked.
Bullshit. Look at the replay.
I was there. I lived it. There ain't no,
I hadn't drank yet. I looked
yet.
Back, and you weren't even close.
There ain't I hadn't no fallen way. Off the wagon until after this happened, okay? I was stone cold sober. You never turned around and looked at all.
Yes, I did.
And man, when you did finally turn around at the checkered flag. So Charlie's got about a 10 bubble length lead. And he turns around, just full like looks, turns around, and Beacon's waving the checkered flag, and I just go, hang on, buddy. And I smoked him wide open, and you flew like 10 feet into the wall.
The best part was, so I'm just like, well, we got to do something, because I thought we were going to, I thought it was going to go differently in my head, which apparently we were all on that program. But
Brad and I were on, we had no problem listening. That's why you got to go to the driver's meeting.
Well, yeah.
You got to go to the driver's meeting. You got to listen to the race directors, why they fucking have them.
So anyway, I turn around at the line so that we can, at least somebody can get hit. So somebody has something to watch, right? And all I remember is Bob smokes me, right? And I go backwards. I fucking slam off the boards. But the best part of the whole time was I kind of come back, and I come back to sitting on my ass, and Bob is in front of me upside down with his head scraping the ice. Like, how did that even
after
happen?
I smoked you were like, you were fucking mangled into the fence, and I just jumped into you and did like a front flip and got like stuck on my head. And then Brad comes in and like falls into me. Like, his was like a half-assed staged fall, but he did the whole, and like his feet come out from underneath him, and he drives into the wreck like it's an ARCA race.
Oh yeah.
And that's when I got stuck upside down.
I legitimately
and I fell out of my orb on the ice.
Best part of the whole weekend. All I did, like, because you get smoked and you have this thing around you and you can't see shit. And I finally
gather. You're so disoriented.
I finally gather it back up. I can restart all the switches and everything. Get it coming, and I pull it down. I just see Bob upside down in front of me.
He's hanging out of the fucking netting. You're like, how the fuck did you get up there?
That didn't even happen. It's literally like an iRacing wreck where the guy gets stuck in the fence. You're like, how did you do that?
Yeah. No, I right as I knew right when Bob picked it up because I could see his strides because I had chosen vision over speed, which was looking back at it was not the right poor maneuver choice whatsoever. But so like at one point, Bob, I could see that he slowed down going into the corner because he was about to mow over the cone.
Yeah, well, you had to cut a good arc into the corner. Mm.
And so I like legitimately lifted my shit up and saw the cone, was like, oh, all right. So I put it back down and I see Bob start picking up the pace to catch Charlie. And we had already talked before the races started. We're like, one of us is going to fucking tear an ACL, or like one of us is going to get actually hurt doing this. So
they legitimately make you sign a waiver, like a pit pass to get to do this.
I'm like, Bob's pulling away. Like, I got to catch him. I take one big stride and my foot slips out from under me. And I'm like, no, actually, I'm just going to keep waddling like a fucking puffin. And then I see Bob clean out Charlie and I pump the brakes for a second. And then I thought,
oh, I got a chance to win.
I knew that it was already past the start finish line. It was like that fucking wreck with Dick Stenhouse and Carl Edwards back at fucking Nashville or Iowa, whenever they fucking blew up at the line. Anyway, so I see Bob and I'm like, well, I gotta join into the wreck. So I just go, wait for me, guys. And as I'm going to hit, I'm like, Arkham and Art series, boom! And I like hit, and I thought that I jumped. I didn't at all. I just literally fell into Bob, and then like I lost footing for a second, and I was like, well, I sure as shit can't just save that. Like, I gotta fall down a little bit, so I just fucking let the thing fall and fell on my back. But yeah, it was not exactly what I was expecting. I should have, you know, I'm gonna review the footage and the tape, and I'm gonna go back and probably give some mock runs in different shoes next year on ponds. Yeah, and
next
stuff
year, next England. Year you're gonna find us driving sheetrock screws into our fucking boots.
The ice is just gonna be destroyed when we're done with it.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
No, we had a good time. I think we can say that. But we got a sweet Mariner's scarf as a winning prize. There had a nice little victory lane speech. The best part also though was they make us sign this pit pass like waiver form. Like, hey, if you die, it's not our fault. Basically, is what the paper says.
Yeah, Charlie asked me to be his parent guardian for it.
So we finally get down there and we meet New Lizzie, who doesn't like being called New Lizzie.
Don't really fucking do that.
Holy fuck. She did not care for that comment. So we get down there and they hand us helmets and we're like, do we have to wear those? They're like, yeah, you have to wear them. So naturally, instantly, without even talking to each other, we all just put them on backwards.
For switchboard.
Yeah. And they're literally this guy, like the Mariners guy, like one of the employees there. He's like,
wish.com Bruno Mars.
Do you know your helmet throw on backwards? And it's like, oh, fuck. I had no idea. Yeah.
Hey, I'm pulling my eyelids way up so I can see you a lot.
You mean
better.
The clear visor supposed to be in front of me? Oh, I had no idea. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, buddy, like where this guy was standing, you could quite literally see switchboard seat with
a picture.
Four rows of flowers
with
piled
a picture
over
of
it.
Him with a helmet on backwards. Yeah. But, you know, get, yeah.
Yeah. Flowers and posters and all this shit. Like, yeah, that's why we're doing
God forbid we use our brain here. Yeah. Let's not do that.
We had absolutely no idea.
Yeah, so hockey game was fun.
They got their asses kicked, though.
That being said, ended up trying to go to Dewey's, and in the midst of going to Dewey's, this is when the great ice storm of 24 happened.
It was happening.
Happening.
We could have rode fucking skimboards down to the waterfront to Dewey's.
Well, one last thing I want to say about the hockey game is, I don't know, I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that everyone that bought tickets through our link were just spread out all around the arena.
Yeah, we surprisingly didn't see many people when we made it to our seats for the 10 minutes that we
sat tickets
there.
That we were given said we were in section CC, which is like the end.
Dakota said A, and then I saw a bunch of people with our shirts and stuff over in like T and stuff. And I'm like, there's no, because I know that there was a lot of people that didn't go out because it was literally an ice storm. But it was hard to find people. So like, I was under the impression that people were going to watch me tear my ACL. And if I knew that no one was fucking showing up for the game, I would have just...
I mean, there was still a fair amount of people there.
Yeah, there was a good amount of people. I just thought, like, literally I went into the corner and I was like, oh, section CC is our section. Like, I'm looking up, like, looking to try to see if I could see, like, my family and friends. And
we were, like, CC row 1, which it was row 7, but there's nothing in front. So we sat down there for, like, a minute, and then we're just like,
we don't know any of these people.
Yeah. Who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
So we should have, like Bob said, skimboarded down to Dewey's. It was monsoon.
It was like damn near up to my knees at the corner of Dewey's there. And that's like
Charlie wrecked twice going downhill.
Yeah.
Saved it the first time.
Yeah. I landed right on my fucking arsehole one of those times. And
tire softener wore off.
Ice cold water enema.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun fact, that wasn't even the first time I bird bathed my asshole this week. So we'll get into my Monday eventually. But we get down to Dewey's and Lindsay calls me and she's like, hey, it's pretty bad at the house. I'm like, she's like, can you just like, we have no power. Can you just come home? I'm like, yeah, that's not a problem at all. So I get home and it's not good. Not great at all. We live on this nice little quaint neighborhood in Scarborough, kind of tucked away from two main roads. And this street got fucking pounded in the ass all night. There's trees coming down. And we're not talking like just Christmas trees. We're talking like fucking full blown, like 200-year-old fucking limbs and trees crashing down around.
Can attest that at 6 o'clock today, when I was pulling down one of the side roads, I drove right through two wires that were hanging across the middle.
I stopped and turned around. I didn't dare drive through those wires.
Yeah.
I gave it a shot. I
was figuring, they're still down over there?
Nah.
Because I go that way, so I didn't.
I figured my luck, I would drive, catch the wire, and the dude on top of the 22-foot ladder would probably have a hold of the other end of the wire, and I would take him down with me.
So,
you all right, buddy?
So
go on a podcast?
I get home.
I'd love to stop and help you, but I got things to do. Sorry you fell off that ladder.
I got to talk to Gio.
So I get home and it's pitch black, obviously. Nobody has lights. Can't really see anything, but like you can hear it and it's not good. Like it's bad. Like huge trees down in the backyard. There's a bunch of trees over on that side, which is great for an audio program, but to the left of where I'm sitting, they all like crashed, but they missed the house, which is tough when you're trying to get a new house with insurance fraud, but they're all crashing around the house. So like there's just big booms happening, shit like that. And it's like the middle of the night, the house is still kind of warm. We're like, fuck it. We'll try to power through. Well, as we're trying to quote power through
without power,
the two houses down, big old fucking tree crashes right through the roof of our neighbor's house. So
timber.
Yeah. Not good. So I didn't realize
also on that tree.
I didn't realize how not good it was until I head over there. And sweet lady lives over there. Her and her husband, they're older folk, calls Lindsay just freaking out. Absolutely freaking out. So
is Lindsay some sort of arborist?
Yeah, I told her to stop talking to the neighbors. But anyway.
Yeah, let me just get my chainsaw. I'll be right over.
Well, calls Lindsay freaking out. I'm like, okay. Well, apparently this is Charlie's problem.
You're going to want to call your homeowner's insurance, I think, first. Then maybe the fire department.
So I'm like, I'll go take a look.
May we recommend Pine Tree fucking whatever the business is.
Pine Tree Legal Campbell or whatever.
That cuts trees.
Yeah. So I head over there, and I'm looking at the house, and
Charlie's like, there is a tree through it.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, there's a hole for sure. No, I look over there and like the lines are ripped off the house, like damn near ripped the meter off the house. Like they're not in good shape at all. So I see the side of the house and it like ripped some of the siding off and there is a hole in the side of the house, but it's not huge. It's, I don't know, maybe like a foot and a half wide.
That's big enough for a skunk to get in.
Well, it's
it depends on if Rusty lives there.
So I'm like, I'll just go back home. I know I have a brand new big tarp. I'll help you guys out, cover your house, right?
I did see the bag for the huge tarp in the driveway.
Yeah. So I head back home. I grab the tarp. Meanwhile, it's still like actively storming, whatever. And so I grab the tarp, head over there, and her husband's like, I'll grab the ladder. And I'm just joking, like, let me guess, it's a metal ladder. He's like, yeah. I'm like, of course it is. So I'm like,
I'm going to lean it against these cables.
Yeah.
I was like,
how about you just let me take the ladder and you just not anything. Thanks. So I take the ladder, I get up on the roof to where I then pretty quickly found out as I'm landing in this person's attic that there's also a huge hole in the top of the roof as well too. So I'm like, all right. So we end up drilling the fucking thing into their house, like just trying to cover the hole. Cause it's not good out. Like you're going to have probably 3 feet of snow or ice in your attic if we don't get this done. So get that all taken care of. Cop finally shows up like halfway through it. We're damn near done. And he's like, wow, it's a pretty big hole, isn't it? I'm like,
ayo.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah. I live right around the street. I'll get the fire department over here. They'll bring a tarp. And I'm like, What? Like, do you not see this giant blue fucking thing that you just saw my little white ass fucking dangling off the roof, drilling into their house with? Oh, yeah, they'll bring a tarp. You'll be all right. I'm like, I just put a tarp up there. What are you even talking about?
Oh, you're going to bring one to replace mine.
Yeah, so the fire department shows up, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're good. So thanks. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go home now, if that's all right with everybody. So end up going home, help the neighbors out, whatever, go to bed, freeze our fucking dicks off. I was going to say,
you've been outside in the rain. I'm sure coming to your nice ice-cold home.
Yeah, that nice. I couldn't take a hot shower in or anything. Yeah, it was awesome. Classic, right? Mm. So we power through the night, and we're all snuggling. We got through the night. It was all right. And we wake up the next morning, still no power. So now we're into Sunday, right? I'm not foreseeing anybody getting power back anytime soon, especially with the house two over with the lines ripped off the side of it. Like, they're whatever. And I know just enough how to backfeed a house with a generator to fucking kill a lineman. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. So I was like, let's just get in the car. Let's warm up. Let's charge our phones. Let's drive around, see how bad it is. Just make a even more of a scene and be in everybody's way. So we're driving around, boot scooting and boogieing around Scarborough, going to Portland, see the waterfront, go down to Saco, go to Old Orchard, come back, still no power. So we're like, all right, well, that sucks. So we're going to get, I think, a merch order, and you're like, hey, we're going to B-Dubs later if you want to watch the race and have some wings or whatever. So we go to B-Dubs.
Ah, I can't wait to bring this up.
Holy fuck.
So I love hearing news stories for the first time.
So it was a good one. So
our waitress, straight out of fucking the depths of Pornhub from like 12 years ago.
100%. Like, yeah. So
like the one from last time?
This one's retired from like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Mm. It was full Lisa Ann. So I wake up.
That's my mother's. Actually.
Okay. I didn't use last names.
Do you remember when we saw Mia Khalifa at
we did
that, the Boston airport?
Yeah, Brad wouldn't go get his picture taken with her.
Yeah. She's just a big sports fan now. There's also just videos on the internet. So anyways, as Bob and I are sitting at Dewey's, Amanda's like, yeah, like, I keep hearing like bangs and like, we don't have any power. And I'm like,
it's the fireworks show.
Yeah. I'm like,
nope,
yeah,
that
like,
was a transformer.
Yeah. I'm like, that's probably transformers, whatever.
So those blow up all kinds of different colors.
Yeah.
Some are orange, some are blue.
And it was big enough where I think Amanda in South Portland and us in Scarborough saw the same one blow up.
Mm. Did you? I might've seen the same one while I was in Portland on my way home. Cause it was very big and very loud and very bright.
Yeah. Lindsay, while we were at Dewey's, she's like, is it lightning out? I was like, nope. And she's like, oh, mm-mm. Please come home.
Yeah. So as Bob and I are sitting at Dewey's, I'm looking outside and I see like ice actively forming on all these lines. And I'm like, that wasn't there when we got here. Like, it was kind of not warm out, but it was so warm that it wasn't going to be icing.
It was raining when we went to Dewey's.
Yeah.
Like, it.
And we sat there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then I kept looking up.
It was that long, was it?
I think it was almost that long.
It didn't seem like we were there very long.
So I'm looking up at the lines, and I'm like, this is getting, like, really, really fucking bad. Like, this is going to be one of those, like, storms that you hear about for a while.
Yeah.
And so then Amanda texted me, like, yeah, we don't have any power. Like, just keep hearing bangs. And I'm like, all right, like, whatever. So I get back to the house knowing that we don't have any power, and I'm like, shit, I only have 30% on my phone. I'm going to sit here and charge my phone a little bit. So I was sitting there listening to Dead in Your Eyes. Shout out to C Money. His band dropped an album a couple weeks ago, I believe. Downloaded that on Spotify. Listened to it front to back 4 or 5 times this weekend. It is actually fucking unbelievable. To the point where Amanda was just like, wait, this is Chris's band? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, just let you know, next time that they're around, we're going to go see them. So shout out to C Money. No free ads. We're sitting there and I'm listening and I just see orange lights on my left and a blue light come across the fucking the top of the house. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I just kept watching them and I'm like, I think I'm gonna go inside. So I walk inside the house, wake up the next morning, and I just, the one thing that I knew that would have light up power is the modem. So I like looked, didn't have any power, was like, bah, go back to bed. Went back to sleep for like 45 minutes, woke up again, looked, no, still no power. All right, went back to bed, woke up again, looked at my phone, was like, it is 7:25. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, I thought it was gonna be at least 10. No, not even close. So Amanda and I wake up and I'm like, do you want to go just get a breakfast sandwich in Portland or whatever? So we head over to the works, grab a sandwich. We start heading back towards the apartment and all the lights in South Portland were not working.
So like
it was
street
just,
lights.
It was just a complete fuck show. Like it was just four-way stops, but there's eight lanes already at the intersection. Actually, there's more than that.
When I was on my way home Saturday night from the game, barefoot, may I add, because I stepped in a river. Didn't see it. It was running under the snow. So I thought I was stepping in snow.
Yeah.
Two-footed it, fucking ankles deep.
Tough.
So yeah, I figured, well, I got it's a 35-minute ride home on a good day, so this is probably going to be an hour-long ride home. How am I going to suffer least? Just took my shoes and socks right off.
Yeah.
Drove my truck. I've owned my truck for almost 5 years, and I've never driven it barefoot until now. So we're driving through Portland. Same thing like you just said. This is what made me think of it. All the lights don't work, except one set of random lights.
Sick.
And they're all red. All four directions is red. And finally,
flashing or solid?
Just solid red.
Sick.
Which is very odd. There's all of the stores around are black. The lights at the next intersection, black. I'm like, what the hell? I think maybe because the railroad crossing was right there. These were on like some sort of emergency. I don't know. But we sat there for like 3 minutes. I'm probably starting 10th in this heat race, row five on the outside. And rows one through three finally say, fuck it, and they go. And the guy in front of me was Mr. Good Samaritan, so stops at the red light.
Masked up inside the car.
And I'm like, brother.
Have a little bit of self-awareness.
We've been sitting here for 2.5-3 minutes, which at a red light is an eternity.
Yes.
And cars are just passing us through the red light. And finally, some other person like must have just felt awkward and stopped. There's nobody in any of the other directions coming. There's just us. I'm like, like, buddy. And we're still sitting there. Same thing. It's another like 3 minutes, like a complete fucking Noah Kahn song plays. And I'm just like, if I wasn't barefoot, I'd get out and knock on this window and be like, guy, go. But I'm barefoot. So I don't want to do that. And I'm not in a rental car. So I don't want to hit him at a red light. Nothing specific.
Cookout line.
So finally, the whole sky lights up blue and all those lights go dark.
And he's like, oh, I can go.
He did. He did. I'm like, well, thank you, God.
appreciate that.
Oh, fuck. So like I said, we go to get breakfast in Portland. As we come back, we can tell that nothing's changed, but I can see that the bridge is up. And I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, why is there a boat coming in at this point?
For those that don't
might
know,
still be up.
It's the Casco Bay Bridge, and it's like the only drawbridge, and it's not the only way to get from one side of Portland to South Portland.
It's the only really convenient
way. It's the only way to not spend an hour doing it, basically.
Yeah, so like I take it literally every day, at least three times a day. And so we're on the way back, and I see it's up, and I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. But I see the lights are green, and I see that the gates aren't down, and I'm watching cars just bust past, and I'm eating my sandwich just like, oh, all those people are going to fall into the fucking ocean. Like, what the hell? And as we get closer, like, Amanda and I are still, like, we didn't sleep, so we're just like, what the fuck is going on? And we're like, oh, it's just the left side of the bridge is open. And I was like, how does that, I didn't even think that was possible, that only one side of it opens. But then
Well, no, they both open, just one didn't shut.
We are building back better, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
But you would think that if out of all the things that we have, if there was one thing to have like a fail-safe of some sort on it, it would be
a drawbridge.
The fail-safe is that it just that if lets you, go all together and just slams. Well,
specifically the only drawbridge the where if you miss, you land in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, like they're not going to find you.
No, no, got it. No. You plunk off the end of that, you just I hope you can swim. It's the best I can say. Yeah.
No, so like the line of traffic is egregious all the way back, obviously. So it's to the point where people are turning around at the end and going, there's a cop now sitting there, and we're sitting in traffic forever. And I'm just like, all we want to do is just go to the right, which wouldn't even take, like, you don't have to stop, really. It's just a yield. I'm like, fucking A, if these people just move, finally get onto the main road. It's taking forever to get down Broadway. And I'm like, at this point, like, what's the point in us going back to the apartment? There's no service. Like, we're just, like, I don't have service there. I don't get internet. Obviously, with the Wi-Fi being out, I was like, we have no power, whatever. Like, let's just go somewhere else. So I'm like, I just ran out of socks today. Let's go to TJ Maxx. We go to TJ Maxx. I get socks. Now we're sitting there like, now what? So then we're like, oh, like, maybe we'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings. And I was like, it is like 10:30. We probably don't need to go to Buffalo Wild Wings at this hour. Neither of us are hungry. So I was like, let me just go check in on my my great aunt who lives right off Route 1 or Main Street in South Portland. So I go over there. I haven't seen her in, you know, a year and a half anyways. And so I'm like, oh, I tried calling you a couple times, seeing if you need anything from the grocery store. She's like, oh, just didn't get your call. And I was like, I just don't have service like anywhere around here. It was so fucking frustrating. Like, I was literally sitting at the main mall trying to see if she needed anything from Hannaford. Anyway, so I went over there, just shoveled her out, cleaned off the car. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, what can I do next that doesn't involve just relaxing and doing nothing on a Sunday, which is my favorite thing, considering we have like just the we have next weekend and then it's just a she show until fucking probably October. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, like, I'll just go pick up a BFP order. Now, the graphics group doesn't have power, but obviously they're able to
put the t-shirts in boxes.
Yeah, put the t-shirts in boxes and leave them outside. So I get there, pick up the shirts, and then that's when I texted Charlie. I'm like, let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch any sort of sporting event that is going on, because I just can't go sit at my house and stare at the wall for the entire day with no cell phone service to begin with. So we go to Buffalo Wild Wings, and we had... what's another elderly porn star that's not Charlie's mother's name?
Anna Nicole Smith.
Kim Kardashian.
Well, yeah, actually, she could have been a distant cousin of a Kardashian. She had every filler that you could
possibly. She had enough plastic in her lips to make a Tootley trash can. So,
bad for the turtles.
Bad for straws, too. She's probably not good with those.
Veteran of the straws.
Veteran of the skin flute. Probably
the skin recorder.
Probably not able to hot feel a straw in her mouth anymore. So anyways, Charlie and I sit down and, you know, we ordered
her first big day.
Oh yeah. She did say, she's like, yeah, it's, you know, my first day or first week, whatever she said. Yeah,
anyway, the industry's dying down.
Mind you, it's the height of March Madness at B-Dubs on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Where if they have power and not a lot of people do,
everyone
is. And if you have some sort of condition, every volume was on just 4,000.
Oh my God. It was so loud in there. It was full wings, beer, sports. So we're sitting there and the lady goes, the nice old lady goes, you know, to Amanda, what would you like to eat? She goes, I'll just take a buffalo chicken wrap. And the lady goes, okay, so what kind of chicken would you like on that? And she's like, buffalo. And Amanda goes, Amanda goes, buffalo. And the lady goes, grilled or crispy? And Amanda goes, crispy. And then she goes, so what kind of chicken would you like on that? And Amanda's like, I just want a buffalo chicken wrap. And lady's like, yeah, but so do you want like barbecue or teriyaki or like mild or like parm garlic? And Amanda's like,
buffalo.
I want a buffalo chicken wrap. And she's like, oh, you just want buffalo? Amanda's like, yeah. And so now we're all like staring at each other. Charlie, Lindsay, myself, Chase even was just like, what is this bitch fucking talking about?
Chase hasn't spoken a word yet. He just rattles that off.
He's just squinting like Charlie. Just
his first words were, bitch, what the fuck?
Yeah. He goes full Stewie from Family Guy.
Yeah.
Is she retarded?
I just bit my mic. So I'm sitting there and like, I actually wanted a buffalo chicken wrap as well. Amanda kind of cucked me and I'm like, I can't even order that because this lady is going to have a seizure if I do.
Or just say, make it two.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, two what?
Yeah. You want another beer? What?
Yes, but.
So I'm like, I'll just take fucking 10 boneless wings, whatever. Everyone else makes it simple.
Okay, do you want bone in or boneless?
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just take whatever. The wings, everything is going as planned. Well, Amanda, when we first sat down, goes, what do you have on your app for rewards or whatever? I'm like, oh, well, I have a free chips and guac. Let's just get that to just munch on while we sit here and wait. So it is by far the worst chips and guac that you could ever come to expect from a restaurant, which it's a Buffalo Wild Wings, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not exactly a wings, beer, and chips and guac kind of place.
No. So
By chips and guac, he got cardboard and mush.
Yeah.
It was potato chips and a flattened avocado.
They were so kind to let me try one, and I was like, oh, thanks, guys.
It was weird. Like, Charlie's like, it literally doesn't taste like anything.
Potato chips and an avocado that got ran over by a semi truck. No, in the parking literally, lot.
That is probably
really pretty close. Yeah, it like you had it. Like it didn't taste like anything. It was just, it's so hard to explain, but it just tasted like nothing. And it's also just like kind of addicting at the same time. Like you just want more, but
you want something in your mouth because you can't make food at your house because you're not allowed to because of CMP and the mother nature. But so we're sitting there, right? And the bill finally comes out and she didn't even have the wherewithal to be like, hey, do you guys want split checks? And mind you, like, Amanda and I got there and started ordering 10 minutes, 15 minutes before Charlie and Lindsay did to begin with.
There's very clearly two separate parties.
There's two teams here.
Could not be
home
more.
Home team and away team.
Like, and it was obvious because she came to Amanda and I numerous times before they showed up. So she knew that from the start, but never even asked. Just gave us a bill for $105.
$108.
$108. So I'm like, hey, how much was that chips and guac? Did she take it off? I'm assuming she didn't. And I don't even understand how that process works because they ask you for like your phone number and then they type it in and they got these fucking discounts or some shit.
Oh boy, did we.
Yeah. So I'm like, hey, like when she came back, I'm like, so like I have the chips and guac coupon. Well, like, can you just take that off?
Well, I also, before you said that, I was like, hey, can we just split this up? Like after he says the coupon thing, I said, after you do that, can you split this up? She's like, oh yeah, it'll take that off afterwards. I'm like, that's not what I asked.
Yeah,
that's literally, that could not have anything to do with what I just said.
Like Charlie said, can we split this up? And like 5 seconds later, I'm just like, no, we'll just figure it out on Venmo, because this is the same lady that didn't know a buffalo chicken wrap had buffalo chicken on it
at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Exactly. So I'm like, all right, like I have this coupon, please take it off. She's like, oh, I don't even know how to do that. I'll have someone else do it. I'm like, okay. So she's like, oh, I just need to get your phone number and then they'll take it off. We're like, all right. So Charlie gives her the receipt. I put my phone number down on it, whatever. She goes, comes back. She's like, that should be all set for you guys. Like, thank you. Have a good night. And Charlie just looks down, looks back up at me and just goes, how much was that coupon? And I was like, I think the chips and guac was $12. And I was like, $12 too many. And I like started like panning around, just like looking at the sports. And Charlie goes, hey, that took our bill from $108 to $38. And I was like, and I looked right at Charlie and I'm just like,
we got
to
go.
You guys ready to go?
So yeah. I was like, well, she's pretty stupid, obviously. Like we've established that. So I leave a tip for what she would have made anyway, because I'm not a total piece of shit. So I sign it off. I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't even want to hear about it, because I'm sure she ended up paying for it out of her own paycheck, which sorry about it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. So we left and Brad was like, yeah, just, you know, whether you get charged like 300 or fucking $20, just let me know. We'll figure it out. So I look at my bank statement today and she didn't even put her tip on there. Just charged the $38 and let us walk out. I was like,
so we all got an employee of some sort of establishment fired this weekend.
I was like, I even tried. Like, yeah. I tried to bit, like, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, Bob got someone fired at the game.
You did.
Anyway, so back to Sunday. So
that's
yeah,
what he gets for letting me walk into the fucking back door of the arena, I guess.
Apparently he had it coming. So so anyway, yeah, that was our B-Dubs extravaganza.
Which and it was brutal. So I get back to my apartment, still don't have any power. So then I'm like, oh, fuck, like let's just go drive somewhere else. So we're driving around, charging our phones. We went to go take a nap for like 45 minutes, never even was able to fall asleep. And then I've been doing this awesome thing with Capital One where I call them all the time and they try to help me out. They're very nice people. So like I mentioned last week's show, we paid for three nights in a Hickory hotel. Days in canceled our three nights because we didn't show up for the first night, which we were still going to show up for the next two, but we didn't get in until 3 a.m. So it made sense. So anyways, Capital One, they basically said I need to get like the manager's name and I'll get refunded. So I've called them, I'm not joking, 7 times in the last few days. And every single time they're like, oh, like, sorry, this happened to you, Mr. Bradley. I will call the Days Inn and we will get that straightened out. And then like they're like, oh, I'm going to place you on a brief hold and I'll be back in 5 minutes. All right, cool. So
45 minutes later.
Oh, no, 30 seconds later, they're just like, oh, I spoke with the nice lady at the front desk, Mia, and she said that she said the manager is out of town and he'll be back in about 30 to 45 minutes if you want to give us a call back. And I'm like, what?
He's out of town and he's going to be back in a half an hour.
Literally. Oh, they have said that. I'm not joking. This 5 phone calls in a row to the point where I called them this afternoon and now I have to call them back at 7 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
Oh,
so I was trying to figure that all out fucking yesterday. And it's annoying, but it's also fucking, I ended up paying for another night. So I paid for 4 nights at a hotel that we stayed at for one fucking night.
Oh, so
we even left them a pitcher of beer.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure the cleaning staff was very appreciative. So I also have a hotel fuck show to go through. So Sunday after we beat up, come back to the house, just check on it, make sure it's not upside down still. And it's starting to get pushed like 2, 3, 4 o'clock. Lindsay and I had been pretty hopeful that we were going to get power back and just never preemptively got a hotel room, right? So if it was just the two of us, I would have been like, love you, but suck it up. Like, we're not going anywhere. But we have a 9-month-old baby. So, like, you can't freeze the baby out. Like, that's just, that's how they take your kids away afterwards, right? So we're like, well, let's try to get a room. So absolute fuck show trying to find a room. Obviously, every place is sold out. Nobody has power. Didn't really put 6 and 9 together before I tried to make these phone calls. I'm like, fuck, like, we're fucked. Like, I don't know where we're going to go. So
Wyndham never lost power.
Thanks, Bob. I'm calling all these. I'm like a Hilton Rewards member, like trying to call them, all booked up. Called the Sheraton. They're like, yeah, get fucked. We booked up like 2 days ago. So Lindsay's like, well, why don't you call the Cambria? It's a new place. Nobody's ever heard of it. I'm like, okay, call them. Yeah, we're full. But I can get you a nice luxury room at the Casco Bay Hotel. I'm like, well, that sounds kind of bougie. Like,
it's just a boat in Casco Bay.
So I'm
looking. That's why the bridge is stuck up.
So I'm looking it up, and it looks brand new. Like, it looks actually pretty fucking nice. And the guy says the address. He's like, yeah, it's 80 John Roberts Road in South Portland. I'm like, John Roberts Road? Like, that's the mall. Like, that's Home Depot. Mm. And I started putting 6 and 9 together even more. I'm like, that's that fucking crack house, like, Fairfield.
No, they redid it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I'm like, really? Yeah. So I'm looking at the picture. I'm like, yeah, it looks fucking awesome. Let's do that. So mind you, before that, I did actually get a room at the Canopy in Portland.
Yeah, that's the homeless and tent center, right?
I mean,
under the bridge.
Yeah, for $250, it's a homeless shelter for sure. Yeah. So I call and they're like, oh yeah, we have one room left, naturally, right? Like, it's the last one. You got to buy it. So I'm like, all right, let's fucking get the ball rolling. She's like, it's the exercise room. Does that matter to you? I'm like, yeah.
A little.
I'm like, sweetheart, you can put me in the lobby for all I give a shit. I don't care that there's a treadmill in there. Oh yeah, but there's a Peloton, there's a treadmill, you have a nice little shower area. I'm like, I hope it has a shower. Like,
does it have a bed?
Talking about? Yeah. Does it have a bed in the tub? That's all we're looking for here. So we're getting through it. And she's like, all right, so it's $260 something. I was like, for what?
Peloton.
I was like, it's $200.
Planet Fitness charges $10 a month.
I was like, it's $260 for tonight. She's like, yes, this is the Canopy.
Surge,
I'm like,
pricing.
I don't give a shit if it's Donald Trump's bathroom. Like, what are you talking about? $200? Fuck me. So I was like, yeah, I'll call you back. Never called. So anyway, we get into the Casco Bay Hotel and get the, again, last room. Got to buy it. That was only like $130. I'm like, all right, I can do that. So we get there and we pull up. Huge line at the check-in desk. Mind you, check-in was 3 o'clock. It's already like 5. So this should be a non-issue, right? So I get in line to check in. Things are progressing very nicely. People are getting rooms. There's probably 10, 15 people in front of me in line. I'm in line probably half hour, 40 minutes, something like that. Again, watching the progress. So I'm not getting too cunty yet because again, the line is moving. Literally, I am the next one in line.
Sold out.
To get a room. No. Hey, we don't have any rooms available, in a Jamaican accent is what comes across the desk there. And everybody's like, the fuck do you mean you don't have any rooms available? They're like, well, no, we have the rooms. Everybody with a reservation is going to get their room. They're just not clean yet. I'm like, they should have been clean 3 fucking hours ago. They're like, oh, well, we were sold out last night. I'm like, I don't care. Like, that doesn't matter to me. They're like, well, we didn't get power back ourselves until like 2:30. So like, they're still trying to wash all the bedding. So I'm like, okay, well, if that is true, I can't be that pissed then. I'm more pissed that I was literally the next one. And I just watched 10 people get a room and they can go relax for the rest of the night. Mind you, I have myself, Lindsay, Chase, and Buddy, the dog, right?
You left the cats here?
You fucked the cats. So
they're cool too, man.
No, they're fine. they're lucky they don't live.
They're
inside.
About to be a lock holder.
Yeah. So I was just more like pissed that I was like literally the next one in line. They're like, give us like an hour and a half. We'll have everything cleaned up. Like we'll get everybody in their rooms and whatever. So I was like, well, that's pretty fucking frustrating because we already brought two cars over. Like we're ready to just relax for the night. And so we left. We went back to the house. Just checked on it one more time, wasted about an hour and a half, went back to the hotel, a line now of entirely new people down the entire hallway. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. So I get back in line, stay in line for again, another 45 minutes or so and get all the way. And I'm not even joking. Can't even write this script. get all the way up again. Next person in line. All right, we got to move up to the third floor now. They're cleaning that one. And I'm just dumbfounded at this point. I'm like, you told all of us to come back in an hour and this would all be all set. This was out of your mouth. So now I'm about to go full fucking redhead at this place because we should have been in our room like 5 hours ago. We're pushing 8:30 now. And I got a baby who goes to bed at 6:30. He was doing great until the second time we got rejected at the line.
Now he goes full Stewie.
Now he is like, he's starting to be like,
she retarded.
What the fuck is going on here? So long story short, we don't even get into our room until 9:30 at night. Supposed to be in at 3:00. And I swear to God, this is what happened. Finally get the key. It's on the third floor.
We haven't cleaned it yet.
Nope. Mind you, I had just watched all the Lucas the Tree guy. Room. Mind you, while we're finally at the line, getting checked into our room, a Lucas Tree guy comes out of the elevator, hands the key over the desk. He's like, yeah, there's someone in my room.
Hell yeah.
And now Lindsay understandably is like full blown panic mode because she's like, I swear to God, if somebody is in our room after all this, she's like, I might just go get unhinged. Like, I don't even know what's going to happen. So I was like, do you promise me that there's not a naked guy in our room when you hand me this key? And the guy's like, click, click. And he gives me the key. Finally walk into the room. It is 9:30, 9:45, whatever it is. I am exhausted. Everybody's exhausted. I just want to go the fuck to bed. Open the door, set our things down, sit on the bed.
Tech box out of the bathroom.
Text message, power's back on at Maple Ave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I looked at Lindsay. I was like, I don't give a fuck. We're staying here. I am not moving. We are staying in this goddamn hotel room, which I then immediately found out shared a wall with the stairwell.
Nice.
So, oh, my God. So I go down and I'm like, all right, well, if the power's on, I'll just, cause it's 5 minutes from here, literally 5 minutes. So I'm like, well, if the power's on, I'll just go home real quick, make sure the furnace is on. I'll get Lindsay and Chase set up, get them to bed. Like, this is getting fucking ridiculous at this point. Came home, got everything squared away, set a key aside for you in case you needed it. I was like, all right, I'm going to go get food. So I go to McDonald's. Very straightforward process. Typically, you go to go through the drive-thru, you order food, you pay for it, you leave with food, right? So this one in Scarborough, there's two lines. There's two drive-thrus. So you go to one.
Always choose the bottom.
Or the other. I went to the bottom.
Always choose the bottom.
So kind of like your red light situation here, 2, 3, 5, 7 minutes goes by, 10 minutes almost, and nothing's happening. Now, at this point, I'm boxed in because there are people lined up behind me and filling up the whole second one. I'm not even joking. About 15, 20 minutes goes by and everybody finally gets enough of a clue behind me where they start backing up and going around. I'm like, well, I'm not going to get boxed in again. So I finally fucking go around. Literally, you go around and there's a sign on the drive-in window on the other side of the building on this one-way parking lot that says we closed at 5 due to the weather. So I'm pretty sure that other guy is still sitting at the drive-thru waiting to get some Wick Nuggets now or whatever. So I'm like, of course, of course. So I go to Taco Bell after that. Drive up, see people inside. They're getting food. There's people working. Nobody in the drive-thru line. I was like, awesome. Pull through, order food, seamless. Pull up, one person in front of me. Love it. Getting ready to eat and go the fuck to our hotel room. Well, I'm sitting there.
There's a minivan in front of you, right?
I'm sitting there.
And they wanted KFC.
And it's like 10:50. Literally, they also said immediately, they're like, yeah, we have no chicken at KFC. I'm like, you have no chicken at the chicken store. Anyway, I want tacos. So I pull up, person sitting there. One person in front of me. I'm like, okay, not a problem. 10 minutes goes by. 15 minutes goes by. 20 minutes goes by. About a half hour goes by. They finally get their food and leave. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So I pull up. I pay for my food real quick. The guy gives me the drinks, slams the window shut in front of me. I'm like, well, I ordered food. Gonna have to have that. Another 20 minutes goes by, 25 minutes, half hour, gives me the food. I'm just so incredibly over it at this point. I just want to go back to the room.
he pulls his food outside the window and Charlie just drives away.
I just want to go back and eat the food and go the fuck to bed. Well, apparently now Chase is sick and not happy at the hotel room. So he's not sleeping, very unlike him. Finally get him settled down. And Lindsay and I, this is how you know it's true love, by the way. We take our Taco Bell and we go into the bathroom of the hotel, trying not to have just like a mental breakdown at this point based off of how the entire fucking weekend has gone. Eat our Taco Bell in the bathroom. Go back to bed. Everything is fine. And I assume the worker or the owner's kids, who I also saw taking trash out while we were all trying to check in, apparently having just an Olympic marathon up and down the stairs next to our room.
Yeah, me and Reagan did that at the Dublin Rose Hotel there.
Right next to our door. And it's finally 3 o'clock. Nobody has slept a wink, an ounce of sleep at all. And it's 3 a.m. I was like, fuck it. We're going home. So we finally get back, sleep. I'm running on, I think, my second Aroma Joes at this point. I'm trying to get my money back at a hotel, which apparently is an absolute fuck show to try and do. And that's my update from Sunday, which was fucking miserable. And there's still trees all fucking through everybody's houses.
We have about more Patreon questions than we've ever had in our lives. So before we get to that, I did want to say that this episode is brought to you by RP Pest Services. Tick and Mosquito Services, based out of Windham, Maine, servicing Windham, Gray, Raymond, Standish, all the Lakes region, and any surrounding towns. Safe for pets and kids, once a month application starting at $85 a month. Cheaper than any other company in Southern Maine. Discounts for multiple houses on the same street, so tell the neighbors. And we wanted to thank RP Pest Services for being along with us for the entire month. And the snow will be melting anytime now, so you're going to want to deal with those fucking pests. And first Patreon
shout
question.
Shout out Randy Pratt.
Yeah, shout out to Randy Pratt. First Patreon question that comes through is Peter Horzepe says, for me.
There's one more in front of it. But
says, Bobby, everyone knows it sucks to get so silly you blow a motor, especially where you did it. But honestly, I don't think you could have had a better story to tell now that the hangover is gone. Is this a story you'll tell the grandkids when they're old enough type of deal? Not many guys have a top tier NASCAR or have a top NASCAR driver wear their shirt to the biggest podcast in racing sitting next to Dale Jr. Totally worth the suffering. Really loved hearing about it.
Well, first off, I need to drastically improve my dating history to even think about grandkids at this point. But God's made lesser miracles happen. So if that does ever happen, probably not. it's tough. Like I'm doing my best to not get annoyed because it's not people's fault. But when the same story from 48 different people, I heard, I was there, I lived it. Still pretty embarrassed, but Tyler is a cool dude. I didn't pay him to wear it. I worked for Derek Neeland at Lee Speedway 2 years ago. Hung out with Tyler that night. I hung out with Tyler before when I worked for Derek at Hickory. He's one of those dudes that you meet him once and he remembers you. He remembers Brad. He remembers I every time. I mean, even before I blacked out, he walked into Big Al's, first person he came right over to me was me, and dapped me up. And then the night went horrifically worse after that. But
I dug a trench at Loudon once.
Yep, that did happen. Mm. And so shout out Tyler. Good dude. He's the only adult that wears a small Bobby Timmons shirt.
Very small. Extra small if that's an option, but.
Yeah, the first one that you must have not got, Brad. This is from Derek. He says, for the boys, my girlfriend and I have always wanted to take a road trip up the coast. What coastal towns are must-sees for the best waterfront views and seafood?
I've heard Bahaba's great, but yeah, I've also been there
before. I've never Bar Harbored.
My amount of like touristy shit is like going to Old Orchard in Wisconsin Speedway.
Yeah. If do the classics. I mean, you got Old Orchard Beach. That's always kind of just tacky and fun.
The Old Port.
Sweet little spot in Portland, Saltwater Grill. It's literally on the water. If you go on a nice night, you can kind of see the whole skyline of Portland. It's pretty sweet. Do Cape Elizabeth, see the lighthouse, all that shit. There's some food trucks that go there once in a while. Great spots around there, too. Cookie Jar has good, like, donuts and pastries and stuff. But, I don't know, Wiscasset.
Bahaba.
Never done that. But Eastport, I guess. Brunswick.
Yeah, if you want to get really crazy, Eastport is unbelievable. But I also haven't been there in about 5 years. So I used to go every single year for the 4th of July. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Bar Harbor and that surrounding area seems like it's a hot spot. I'm going to end up going there pretty soon here and go for a nice little hike one morning at some point. And so we do have a lot of Patreon questions that did pertain to Luke Baldwin. But if you heard We tried to give him a call. He didn't answer. He is doing go-kart things, I believe. So we'll try to get him on next week's show, and we'll revisit these questions that were for Luke. I did put my phone on Do Not Disturb, even if he does call us back. It's too late in the show. So
yeah, I'm
hate it for the hungry guys.
We're going on 2 hours. So the next one, who wants to read the next one?
Is it Tyler?
Yeah, Tyler.
Tyler P. We already did the GL one, right? So
there's one above it.
Yeah. So, and for the boys, weapon of the week, Matt Hirschman for causing a Talladega big one at South Boston.
He did for sure just absolutely
did he do it?
Drive
he did.
Jake the Snake Scum through the fucking backstretch wall, cleaning out Woody and everybody else in the ARCA modified series.
Jake Crum wasn't a modified?
And had a car that could win the race. And Matt Hirschman like made sure he did not have any chance of winning the race.
Is Jake Crum that guy that everyone hates?
Yes, because he beat the fuck out of Landon Huffman's dad.
That's Mr. Annabeth Barnes to you.
Yeah, right. Well, she's won a race this year.
Yeah, she cherry-picked a 10-car race where he was also racing in the modifieds. Yeah, so Luke had taken the lead. Luke power move, just shipped Matt, which he didn't, like, he didn't just hammer him. He even said in his interview, Matt's more tactful in traffic than I am, and Matt checked up to lap Anthony Bello, and Luke just gave him a shot. Didn't mean to, but when the hole opened up, you know, he drove in through and took the lead. So they had a couple cautions late in the run. This was 20 to go, and Jake was, I think, second, or he was at least on the outside of Matt. And they come off of turn two, and Matt just, no, like, nobody was there. I don't know if he got called clear or what, but he just drove Crum right in the backstretch wall, buried him in the fence, and then Woody was right behind him, fresh off a restart. He had nowhere to go. Cleans Woody out, and the entire field just came piling in, wadded up a huge pile of cars. Took out pretty much anyone that had any chance at beating Luke other than Matt, but you know, kind of ironic that the guy that starts the huge wreck drives away unscathed. And Luke was good enough to hang on, took down the win for 20 grand over Matt, and Doug Kobe was third, but barely. I mean, the thing
Doug
was
Kobe's car was destroyed.
All stove the fuck up. Nerf bars caved in. Body panels ripped off, and it looked like it had been through war.
Yeah. Next question.
This one's great.
Yeah, Kyle Powers, very disappointed with how little coverage Connor Zilich got this weekend.
Hadn't heard anything about him. I started listening to the first 5 minutes of Denny Hamlin's show on the last 5 minutes of my drive here, and it's all Connor's. Where the fuck is this? The next fucking Mario Andretti that I don't
apparently
know about?
Not because he didn't do very well.
No.
Why is everybody blowing this kid? Because he's quite literally a kid. He's 17.
He won the Sebring 12 or something like that.
Yeah, he does like the sports car fucking road course deal. So he was he's taking like a different path than everyone else. He's not just doing like I go run the cars tour and
more of an Austin Cedric type of route.
So naturally he's going to be better at a place like COTA where half the fucking truck series hasn't been before, or they have been and they're not that good at it.
The only thing I know about him from the truck races, he started on the pole and wrecked someone.
Well, I was about to say, like, they're blowing this guy for the entire pre-race coverage. You have like half an hour before the race starts because they take a lap around the track under yellow. So the kid takes the green and they're just blowing him hardcore, like fucking facial all over, like the entire time. Takes the green, misses turn one
completely.
I'm like, what a fucking fall on your face. And Jamie Little needs to just not Jamie Little anymore, I think.
She needs to go back to being a pit reporter because she's very good at it. But in the booth, my fucking word, is she awful.
The problem is, and I have been fortunate enough to be on the broadcast side of, you know, smaller than Fox, obviously, or Fox Sports 1. But like, if you just do like simple Google researches of like anything of like, how should I conduct myself during this type of scenario? She still is like pit reporting, but as the main announcer. She takes like small blurps, and like her cadence is just not even.
There's
got
to be a
way
to fix it, because I don't know what kind of a torture chamber the NHL sent Leah Hextall to. Holy, but she's actually pretty good now, and she was horrifically bad when she started. So this can be fixed.
But like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, she, as a pit reporter, she is very good. But as a pit reporter, you take small blurbs, your cadence is a certain way, you have somebody talk to you, and then you're done. Well, that's what she's doing as the main announcer, and it's so like hard and cringy to listen to and watch. And then like the whole, she's not even like paying attention half the time either. She's like, "Oh, the yellow's out. That's good for Connor Zilich." And then literally Phil Parsons is like, "The yellow's not out. The yellow is not out at all."
Yeah.
So
they would not just stop.
Just what he needed. Just the break he needed. And both Phil, I think Michael Waltrip too, is just like, "Yeah, it's still green."
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know what to tell you, Jamie. Like,
Peter Horzepe.
So I got this one, I guess, right?
Yeah. Petter.
Yeah. Denny keeps talking about pissing in his car, and Junior said he would pour yellow Gatorade on himself after he pissed in his car so people would not notice. Have you guys ever pissed in your car because there was too many yellows? Yeah, Brad used to do it all the time in his 15-lap races. Yeah,
couldn't hold on to it.
I don't think our races are long enough to do that, but I've also just, like, I've gotten
out under red flag, pissed in a porta potty in the infield at Waterford.
I was going to say, I've definitely had to piss, like, before a race or after the race, certainly. But when you're driving, I've never had that even as a thought to come. And I've done like 100 lap races, 150, like whatever. And it's not even a thought.
No. I mean, it's the biggest thing with the Cup Series, where it was an issue with Denny and Corey LaJoy said the same thing at Atlanta. They weren't sweating. So you're piling in water during the race and it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Like when you're sweating, it's essentially the same thing. You're losing it through that way. But no, I got out under red though at Waterford once and took a piss, but. That was more for comedy, than anything. I mean, I kind of had to pee, but I was like, we're going to be a while.
It's for content.
There's cars hanging from the fucking lights. Yeah. Like, we're going to be a minute.
Liam Flynn.
Yeah.
The next one. These are all fucked up on my screen. But Liam Flynn, weapon of the week, Corey LaJoy.
No, come on.
Ran over the 19, 23, and 2 on the first lap.
Must have been a Spire thing to just wad shit up in the first turn this weekend.
Well, one of them's a given every week. But ran over the 4 and tried to double tap the 19 with the 50 later in the race. Still somehow finished behind all of them except Barry. What I like to do, but he's been a wrecking ball this year. Honorable mention to the dude buddy in the Discord server who got hacked by OnlyFans bots.
Davey Riendo, you need to change your password to Discord.
Also, Brad needed a bump start in that ice race like Bob Supermod, but he forgot the starter motor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we obviously talked about the
Charlie ball race Charlie whatever, started but, in high gear and Brad and I started in low gear.
Yeah, and Bob and I the low gear was that the ball was around our basically
knees.
Yeah. Like if you watch the video, like our legs aren't even capable of moving as much as Charlie's are, which was we'll regroup for next year. Next question.
We'll rent the track and test.
Exactly. We're just gonna be out on a pond, fucking running around.
And we show up, just Cookson's there for some reason. You're like, what is
that? The MCR trailer just pulls in. You're like, okay,
of course.
Andrew Roan says, after your foot race this past weekend, were tire samples taken and were the MSD boxes checked for traction control? Brad seemed to get off the line a little bit too well.
Charlie had the big motor. I think I had traction control. And Brad had the soft shoes. He was stuck.
I did have the big motor, but corner entry was tough. Had to kind of check it up a little bit before I made that kind of square corner there. Big drive up off the corner, though, and just try to make a show of it once we did get to the line.
Sippy says, some serious Tex-Mex food to blow the rear end of a truck race. Yeah, that was pretty wild how Marco Andretti's rear end just fell the fuck out of the truck.
Do you know how bad you have to fuck up for that to happen?
A lot of shit has to break.
Like, you have to...
Well, at least something major has to break, and it has to break in a way that it breaks the other side.
Yeah, but...
the truck arm mounts.
I mean... It was a 0-4, right? Yeah. So what
that helps out, because when you see his number 0-4, you're like, that's probably going to be just not good. But then it's like, oh, it says Andretti on the front. You're like, oh, all right. Well, that's also something. Like just a 0-something number is just not it.
I'm trying
like,
to think
other
of
than like what
like,
butter beans, like the only one that's probably good, like
wins. Bukok.
Oh, yeah.
DJ Shaw is literally number 0-4.
Jacob Dorr was 0-5.
Kind of broke your own theory there.
That did definitely just broke my own theory.
Hey, Sam Remo was 0-6, though.
Well,
he can't.
All right, we're back. We're back. No, the like in the truck series, though, or like NASCAR, like there's no one in like a higher series of NASCAR.
Cole Custer won the championship, 0-0.
Clint
Boyer's 0-7 was pretty sick.
But he wasn't really good. Clint Boyer won maybe a couple races.
He did flip once.
Yeah. He was never like...
He was the 0-L, or the L-0.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was talking about like the big series in NASCAR. It is definitely an end of my theory when every single act race is won by a 0-something number. Yeah. But no, in the truck series, like you see that in like... It's typically not wrapped the same thing as Connor Zilich or Kyle Busch. But
I also think that like group 1001 is very similar to like that Camping World sponsorship where it's like, yeah, we'll give you $10 if you wrap your truck in our shit.
Yeah,
but
has to be.
Yeah, well said.
Matt Gaines says got to settle the debate between Rusty and I. Who would win in a fight between Woody Pitcat and Ryan Newman?
I feel like that'd be a hell of a scrap.
That would be a good scrap.
Woody Newman's stocky. Newman's also not as big as people think. Like he's, I think, like damn near shorter than I am. I've seen him in person. He's not a big dude.
He was very upset with Woodrow. We haven't heard from Woody in the Patreon for a couple weeks. So Woody, chime in. Could you beat the fuck out of Ryan Newman?
It would definitely be a good scrap because I think Woody
knows
would
how to
go
hockey
full.
Fight.
Yeah, Woody would go full like prison rules.
And I think
hockey.
I think he's in better shape.
Newman's just a tree stump.
I think Newman hits hard, but I think Woody's in better shape and can wear him out.
100%. It's gonna be like the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight.
Yeah, what would be the odds on that?
Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, or
Woody, Woody plus 69.
I think Jake Paul is gonna die.
If he doesn't get hit, he'll win. But if he gets hit, he's going to die.
His nose is gonna touch the back of his.
I want nothing more than for that kid to just get hit into oblivion. But it never happens.
He's gonna get hit in that tribal tattoo that I know is probably fake, and it's just gonna look. His face is gonna look like broken glass. Yeah.
I think it would be Woody minus like 125.
All right. Next question. Zach Ryan, does Bobby's newfound fame off the DBC show increase the value of my limited edition autograph 2010 BT3 trading card I found in my attic a couple weeks ago? Looking to make a quick buck before the tax refund hits.
Well, I don't have any of those left anymore, so if no one buys it from you, I'll give you $2 for it. So we'll
I also have there. One, so I'll sell it.
Which,
to
if he got
$1.
It for free, I assume from an autograph session, that's still a 200%. It's a good sale.
You got to keep yours, Brad, though, because I remember giving you that.
Okay.
I don't remember giving Zach his. So David Lugie,
I'd assume not. Yeah. Like maybe. I don't know.
He says, how many spark plugs will Blaze snap off his 5.4 liter Ford that he just bought? And Slim replied with, usually 5.4s just shoot them out on their road.
All of them.
My cousin Kevin, you'll have to ask him about this when you see him, Brad. He had a Ford Ranger. He was coming up to Richmond go-kart track to help me one day, and same thing, it blew the fucking spark plugs right out of the engine. It's just the ceramic threaded into the block with no internals left in the spark plugs.
Kevin Bouchway Jr.
Says
is blood lube, and that is enough of that.
Yeah.
So
moving on, we're running over 2 hours. Yeah. We cannot get into lube.
I'm just gonna read the next one and pretend like that one didn't even happen. Jordan Powell says Corey LaJoy sucks big monkey nuts. Can't wait till he loses his
Come
ride.
On, Jordan, I said nice things about you last week. Don't shit on my guy.
You know he's got to start overdriving because Carson Hocevar outshines him every single week.
Yes, he does need to start. Like even Zane Smith's outshining him. We got to read Beers' this question, even though it's for Luke, because we need, it's just every week we got to have the Beers scab idiot chat. And, this is a scab idiot question. He was going to ask this to Luke. He says, did your brother waxing you in speed weeks and then yourself causing the big one on lap one of the 66 lap or 602 race motivate you and attribute to the success you were experiencing in the tour mods lately? Shut up, Beers.
Happy birthday and shut up.
Yeah, happy 21st birthday. Kid has one shot of Amsterdam vodka and texts me the next day. Is my head supposed to hurt? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't been sober in my life as long as you have.
Well said. Dakota DeCourcy.
Yeah, Dakota DeCourcy. Thoughts on NASCAR taking over management at Bowman Gray? Also, shout out Dakota. Drove 2 hours to go to the ECHL hockey game with us.
Got a free dinner and beers out of it.
He gets the long haul award quite often.
He was our proverbial PR guy too. He filmed the big ball race.
It was pretty funny though. Like this little kid, like, you want to go down on the ice? What? Really? I'm like, yeah, like.
You can
just be our PR guy.
You can do the whole race.
Fuck yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, if they got another one of these fucking balls, we'll put you in one.
And we just ended up in a suite, too, also at the hockey game. But yeah.
And the NASCAR deal at Bowman Gray, I think it was Ben Kennedy, was very, very adamant on Twitter that they are not.
I was looking for the cough button, was not able to find it.
They're not going to change, take away, do anything differently that Bowman Gray has done, even though immediately the entire NASCAR was like, well, fun's over at Bowman Gray.
It's probably just a money grab, I'd assume. They sell out every week, no matter what's running, because it's a clown show. But, I mean, in terms of entertainment, as a fan, sure, I would watch that all the time. But as a racer, it's fucking nauseating. Like, it's...
Yeah, if you like... debate style shows. Door bump. No, no. Dale Jr. Download had a Freddie Kraft and Matthew Dillner do like a short track racing debate show last week. It's about 45 minutes long. It's really good. They Freddie shits all over Bowman Gray, and that's where Dillner is. He's a mainstay. So it was pretty good. Y'all check that out.
Yeah, you just got to look at it. Depends on what perspective you're looking at it.
The last one is Cameron Jackson from our previously aforementioned hockey game story. He says weapons of the week is the TD Garden staff. Well, if you hoodlums weren't up to no good, you wouldn't have got kicked out.
Seems like it was a great time.
Yeah, it was. It was certainly something.
Real quick, Cole Butcher forgot about his weekend at Hickory 2 weekends ago by winning the ASA Stars Tour Super Late Model race at Five Flags yesterday. Like our guest, who is about to up, I forgot we even recorded with a guest, is about to tell you about.
Does anyone have a coin?
No.
Nah, fuck. All right. Well, we're going to figure something out for BFP picks last week because we just didn't even do him. And we're going to have to do him.
You know, I
week.
Almost deleted that whole note today, and I'm glad I didn't because you'd have been very upset with me.
I'll take William Byron, Dakota.
No, that's not it.
Oh, well, I don't even know who finished where at Bristol.
Why don't we just skip and then we'll have a mulligan for the
I'll pull up the Bristol results right now. Yeah, no, we'll figure something out to do on like next week's show.
I know I was in the top 10 with Chris Buescher at Bristol. I just don't remember.
Also, while you are figuring that out, we got to give a quick shout out to Lee USA Speedway as well too. Ben Bisowski and ownership team, alongside with John S. Burnett, they have turned that place around pretty fucking substantially. We have a big old banner on the backstretch there. All sorts of big shows coming up for 2024 as well too. We got the inaugural North American Pro Stock Nationals from May 17th to 18th. $30,000 to win, $110,000 total purse. Check them out on Facebook, Lee USA Speedway. They're putting up posts seemingly every single day of new entries for that. We already see a Bubba Pollard entry for that as well too. A lot of local talent. DG12 is going to be there in attendance, wheeling the old Rudolph Red-Nosed race car. So all sorts of cool stuff coming to Lee. I have been invited back to be in the announcer's booth as well too. So if you don't get sick of me listening to me on Tuesdays with these fellas here, I will also be in there with Randy Wheelock once again, putting on a show for you guys over on racedaytv.com, where you can get a membership there, get access to everything for Lee USA Speedway, Hudson Speedway, Claremont Speedway, and pretty much anything that Ben Bisowski owns. Great team over there, great things happening, and we're going to keep plugging that every single week here.
Yeah, looking forward to that event that you're talking about in May 17th and 18th. We'll bring the camper there and have a whole weekend out of it. Always great to be at Lee USA Speedway. The last big event that I brought my camper to, I ended up having to put myself to bed in the middle of it and missed the end of the races, and then also missed the after party and woke up at 3 a.m. and was very confused why I was so well rested.
Mm. My dad, who is not a race fan whatsoever, he goes to races that I am racing in and that's it. Even he was like, I think I'm going to go to Lee for that 30 grand to win race.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype behind it. A lot of big names coming too. It's going to be a fuck of a show. It was last year too. Or not last year, but the things that they did last year for like the Kyle Busch show and all that stuff. A lot of interworkings behind the scenes too that I can't touch on just yet. But for those of us that lost a home here in the last couple of years, it's going to have a little bit more of a homey vibe with some other things going on. So excited to come out with that stuff and just keep pushing Lee.
Bring back the bunny bus. So... Chris Buescher finished 7th at Bristol.
Okay. Where was Christopher Bell?
Christopher Bell was 10th.
Okay. And where was Chase Elliott?
8th.
So I win again.
Who had who?
Charlie, you had Chase. So you were 2nd.
Fuck.
Of course. And Brad loses. That's 7, 8, 10. That's a fucking tight week.
Yep.
So I've won every week so
it's
far.
Almost like we know what we're talking about.
Mm. Well, I guess if I'm going first, I'm going Denny Hamlin.
Where are Richmond. They? Richmond? Oof. I don't know who I picked so far. I'll take Ty Gibbs.
Fuck.
Mm.
Well.
It's a great one.
Thanks. Yeah, that was... I thought I was going to snipe that one. Nobody's going
to
see it.
God damn it. There's another one that I should just change to.
So you want the 11, you said?
Yeah.
Give me Christopher Bell. Who are you going to take?
Another good one. Truex, but yeah, that's fine.
I was going to say it's between the 54 and the 19, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a Toyota-dominated show, so that's going
to
be...
so what do you want to do about Coda? Just, man, same thing as Daytona?
No, we'll do a coin flip. And I'm almost positive I took Brad. Or no.
We never even mentioned it.
So. Why don't we just put an X on it, and then we have a mulligan at the end of the year where we can pick from two people?
Something like that. All right, we'll figure it out. Anyways.
So we've missed two races so far, so we're off.
Three people.
Yeah, we got...
We technically did pick for Daytona. We just have no proof of it. It was lost in the ether.
I honestly couldn't remember who it was.
I'm pretty sure.
I think I picked Kyle Busch, but I honestly
you picked Kyle Busch. I picked Brad Keselowski, and I want to say that you picked Alex Bowman or Corey LaJoie, one of the two. It was actually I'm pretty sure it was Corey LaJoie.
Well, I picked him again the next week at Atlanta. So
oh, perfect. Well, you're done with Corey LaJoie for the year, which is probably fine.
Well, he is probably probably good.
So all right, we got. I think that's the end of it, right?
I think it is. That's episode 260.
Yeah, we got an interview with Gio Ruggiero coming up. He was the winner of the ARCA East race at Pensacola Speedway or Five Flag Speedway this past weekend. Little interview this weekend coming up. I got absolutely nothing, and I am so fucking excited for it.
Yeah. Same here.
I'm so broke, so I'm ready to just get paid and do nothing.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to doing absolutely nothing. Excited to watch Richmond for the first time in my life. It's going to be a terrible show. I'm going to get some sleep and catch up on it, hopefully.
And I'm going to reach out to a potential guest this week that we've been wanting to for a long time, and if this works out, next week's show is going to be a lot different than anything we've ever done. So hopefully hopefully that works out. If it doesn't, it'll be the same three idiots babbling on about racing.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, before we go, Gio's interview is brought to you by Mike Holmes and Son Excavating. They are located out of Fremont, New Hampshire. And if you need any land clearing, I said that the last fucking time. Why is land clearing so hard? Land clearing, excavation, septic systems, anything like that, give them a call. Follow them on Facebook. Their number is 603-235-7233. Mike Holmes and Son Excavating over on Facebook. And here is Gio Ruggiero.
All right, boys and girls. So as we just alluded to there, on the other end of the line here, we have the most recent winner of the ARCA series down at Five Flag Speedway. We're just going to toss it in here. Former teammate of mine as well, too, at the Beech Ridge Motor Speedway once. Let's just get right to it. Gio Ruggiero, what's up, man?
Reggie's son.
What's going on?
Oh, not too much. We were talking a little bit before we started recording here that obviously we know who you are. You're from our neck of the woods. You've done a lot of cool shit since you and I were teammates in a legend car a handful of years ago. But, you know, for those that don't know, what the fuck is a Gio Ruggiero?
Well, you know, I started racing up in Seekonk, and as you know, I raced legend cars with Nicholas Scola and all up in New England, many a tracks in New Hampshire and Maine. And then I started running down south in the legend cars with a guy named Mark Narstead, and then moved up to a pro late model with Anthony Campy. My first deal with him was at Speed Weeks a couple years ago, and that's when I met my spotter, Brandon Wilkinson, who's also up from New England. You know, he's a pretty popular spotter from the New England area. And
he used to wreck me on iRacing a bunch when we were kids.
Yeah, he's a pretty good iRacer as well. He's fast. So
if I remember correctly, he has a pretty comfortable floor as well too.
Yeah. Charlie and I crashed on his floor one time. I think he was coming back from a big time spotting gig, and he is definitely hospitable, and he's obviously pretty good at the iRacing, and I hear that he's going big time go kart racing over at Millbridge, which you might be. Are you spotting for him tonight? They use spotters over there.
No, I'm just going to be watching and supporting from the stands. But
good news is you can take the absolute driving lessons me and Brad gave you at GoPro Motorplex last week and teach them to Wilkins tonight.
Yeah.
So
I wish he could have came out with us. I tried to reach out to him, but I think he was busy. He was spotting for Corey Hall. Is that his name, Corey Hall?
Yeah. He had a pretty tough weekend. He would have had a lot more fun over at GoPro with us, but yeah, like Bob said, you know, we definitely took you to school. You didn't just whip our ass.
Yeah. No, it was fun. I mean, I liked how they had the track set up differently with the rain there. That was my first time ever going out on the wet track. It was pretty cool.
Discount.
Well, I don't know. We paid full price to have Gio start dead last and drive by all of us. No, I'm not mad he passed me on the last lap or anything for the win.
It doesn't sound like it.
Actually, I went back to GoPro last week, and when I went to go and pay for one of the races, they had told me that I was suspended from the last time I was there.
That fucking dweeb with the striped wind pants was throwing a fit to the officials about us after the race, so I'm sure it had nothing to do with that.
No, they told me that it was because I hit a barrier. I'd hit one of the barriers in turn one where all the water was, so I think that's what it might have been. And then the guy who is like, I think he's like the track manager or something, I talked to him. He was pretty cool, and he was nice about it. They I think they might have got me and Josh Van Winkle confused because I know he got kicked off the track for hitting a bunch of the barriers there.
So what did you do a me where you go into turn one and where that little S is, you just go straight instead?
Yeah, I think I hit that one.
I love that. I love that. Good for you.
See, they told us specifically not to hit the barriers, and well, we hit them all the way. Like somebody hit one. I think it was the race Gio was in with us. Somebody got spun out of the last turn coming on the front stretch, and one of the like blue barrel or barriers was in the middle of the racetrack. He got hit so hard. Like they had to run out onto the racetrack and drag it out of the racing group.
I think I hit that every single lap last time we went down there. But no, good for you. Proud of you and that barrel hitting of yours. But
good to see you're not suspended anymore.
Yeah, no, that is good to hear. But you kind of glossed over a little bit. I mean, I feel like this whole rise to ARCA that you've had so far, it's been in a relatively short amount of time. So kind of walk us through that. I mean, like I said, you kind of glossed over it, but you like you said, you started racing at Seekonk, then you ended up in a pro late model. So kind of talk to us about those transitions and how all of a sudden you found yourself in ARCA and obviously having some pretty quick success there.
Yeah, so like I was saying, when I met with Brandon and started racing for Campy in the pro late model, I had a pretty good year there, and after that I joined TRD and moved over to Wilson Motorsports to run super late models, and I had a pretty good year as well. For my first year, we won the Winchester 400 in the end of the year there. We won Hickory. We beat William Byron at Hickory. And we won the Southern Super Series Championship. So I think it was a great year in the Super. And then now this year, I did run one ARCA race last year at Nashville. I finished like third or fourth. It was an okay race. I didn't run that well. It was like my first time in a heavier car like that. I'd done a couple of late model stock races too at the end of last year, so that kind of helped prepare for ARCA as well because it's a heavier car. But really this year I've only done Phoenix and Pensacola, which I just won, but Phoenix was a great race as well. I think I would have had a pretty good chance to win if it didn't rain, because the race was, I think there might have been 40 or 38 laps to go, and unfortunately rained out.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that Phoenix, and like obviously going to a track like that, it's a bigger track than you're used to, and I think it caught not anyone off guard by any means, but it caught everyone's attention when they were tuning into that race, and you were driving that track kind of using different lanes and stuff like that, like a lot of the veterans do. Is there anyone that you like really went back and watched and studied film on, or did you just kind of run that in the simulator a lot, or how'd you go out there and just kind of, I don't know, drive right to the lead? And it looked like you kind of had the most dominant car, so I wanted to ask how bummed out you were that you didn't end up winning in your second start instead of your third.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely a little pumped up the first half of the race, but after we lost, I wasn't super happy, but it was still a good run for my first, you know, race like that on a bigger track. To prepare for the race, I really just studied a lot of film from previous years, you know, watching Sammy Smith and Jesse Love and all the past races there. They kind of really dominated at Phoenix. You know, Sammy won there, and Taylor Gray was pretty good there as well. So me and Sammy kind of went over some pre-race stuff to, you know, he's got a ton of experience at Phoenix. That's probably one of his best tracks, and he helped me prepare for the race a ton, running a lot of laps with him and B. Wilkes on iRacing as well.
Three of us are just staring at each other, waiting for the next one to ask a question.
I kept thinking that one of them was about to say something, but no. Obviously, you've had you obviously don't suck at what you do, right? So you go out, you win your third ARCA start. Obviously, you have the remainder of the season to go. So talk to us a little bit about what the rest of your goals are like for the rest of the season. And you know, what are we trying to do here? Are you trying to race on Sundays eventually? Or are you happy where you're at? Or what do you like to do here?
And what was winning like? We're kind of like forgetting. Yeah. Like you did win an ARCA race this past weekend.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty cool to win the ARCA race. Kind of redeemed myself for losing the Phoenix one. You know, beating the 18 car at Five Flags. Obviously I have a lot more laps there, so I think that helped me. but it was also a little tricky as well, running the super and the ARCA car in the same weekend, trying to not to, you know, mess up when I got into the ARCA car or when I got back into the super, because they drive so different. But, you know, my goal is definitely to race on Sundays one day. You know, I want to do this for a career and for a living. And I feel like I want it more than anybody else that I know who races. So I think I have a good chance to win the East championship this year. That Pensacola race was the first East race of the year. So I think I'm sitting pretty good in points right now. I think the next one I have is Dover.
So you touched on it there for a second. You say that you want it more than anybody else there. So let's just casually throw some people under the bus. What is it that you're doing that you think is different that, you know, shows that you want it that much more?
I mean, I feel like I prepare more than everyone else and work harder. I mean, I try to be in the gym as much as I can and always be productive and, you know, be studying new tracks and,
Yeah, but the guy that got the pole at Daytona weighed 450 pounds.
So anyways, what have you been doing? That was one of the questions that I actually had for you, though, was like, what's your day-to-day look like? And it seems like you just like eat, sleep, breathe, like lifting. I feel like you're in the gym. You might just blow up an air mattress and just stay in there all night.
Yeah, I actually work out around probably 2 times a day. I wake up at 6 a.m. and work out every morning at 7 o'clock. And then from there, I go have breakfast, go to the shop, you know, do my errands for the day, and usually come back to the house and study some film or run some laps on iRacing. And then I go back to the gym later at night and do another workout.
Hell yeah. So, you know, you touched on it too. You have a lot of laps over at Five Flags, and you had a perfect comparison, really comparing that to what you're used to in the super late models. But for us common folk who haven't done either of those at that particular racetrack, talk about some of those differences and what that transition was exactly like, kind of hopping back and forth there.
Yeah, I mean, the super turns obviously a lot more than the ARCA car does, and the brakes are a lot different. So I really didn't have a problem going from the super into the ARCA car. Really just had to adjust a little bit with, you know, corner entry and backing it up a little bit. It's a lot heavier of a car, so it doesn't want to turn as well. But after I went out for that first ARCA practice and I got back in the super, I was way out in left field for the first run. I mean, I almost knocked the inside wall down going into one. And yeah, I mean, my crew chief Dennis was asking me, you know, what the car needed. And I was like, kind of just telling him, you know, that the car was really good, but we were also 3/10 off of where we needed to be. So I just knew I had to work on kind of adjusting to both cars. And then the next run after that, I was totally fine and back up to speed. So Bubba Pollard raced both races as well. I think he might have been feeling a little bit of the same thing. I know he was racing the ARCA race kind of to help prepare as well for his deal coming up with JRM. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's, like I said, preparing is so crucial, especially if you're running both cars or, you know, two different cars in a weekend. You need to know what's going on and adapt as soon as you know, are switching cars.
So talk about your super late model run on Sunday. You know, you went on Saturday, don't get to live in the glory long. You turn around, you raced again on Sunday. How'd that day go for you?
I mean, I was pretty close to winning again on Sunday. I was close, but I didn't. So I guess my teammate Cole Butcher, he was really, really fast all race. His car was just a little bit better than us at the end of the race. I think he had a little more turn. I was a little tight, and that's what kind of hurt us. But I got the lead from him on the restart there, coming to the last stage, and that's what put us in position to kind of win. You know, we got the lead, and we came in, took tires, and I was in the lead and he was riding behind me. And we raced each other super hard on all of the restarts. I raced him really hard when I was outside of him, pinched him down, kind of took the lead away from him there. And when I was inside of him, with like 30 to go, I was running him up the track. He was pinching me down. We were door banging a little bit and then he crossed me over. And once he got by me, it was just, I think, with the new tires that we're on, I think it's, I think air kind of means a little bit more when you're behind someone, the car gets even tighter, which is something I used to not feel as much on the F45 tires that we used to run.
Air is important. I even got aerotype behind you at GoPro Motorplex last week.
That's at least what we're calling it. Bob has talked about it quite extensively, but the, I'm glad to know that, I'm glad to know that you were suspended and then that was revoked, because there was one point where we were going, nose to tail down the front stretch and I saw the, warning sign come out and I assumed it was for me and I knew that I was never going to get back by you. So I just immediately pulled the parachute and waited until the next batch of cars came, because I was like, if you're going to give me the warning sign when I didn't do anything, I promise you that I will give you a reason to give me the warning sign. But that might have been for you and I might have overreacted. But that's probably the first time that's ever happened. Anyways, so moving on, we do have some Patreon questions. We have a Patreon with quite an extensive number of members, and every Monday they give us some questions for our guests. So Tyler P. has the first one for you. He says, did ASA charge you for the choose cone that you murdered at Madison last year?
That's a good one. No, they did not. That was a while ago. That's a funny memory, but Brandon was telling me can't remember. He was either telling me to pick the bottom or the top, and I wanted to do the opposite, and I
just smoked the cone.
I drove straight through it, and it had Christmas lights around the cone too. It was lit up like a Christmas tree. I punted that thing.
So did you get the inside or the outside, or do you just get to start in the middle like an asshole?
No,
you get the tail.
I had to go to the rear.
Oh, that's brutal. Sean Miner has the next one. Says, for Gio, thoughts on Ryan Preece calling Seekonk the most overrated short track in the country on the Dale Jr. Download last week? To add some context, he did say that it was because he sucks there.
He's not wrong. I agree 100% with what Ryan said. That place is overrated because I also suck there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I love Seekonk Speedway. I raced there. That's the first ever track I raced at, and my hometown is really, I live 10 minutes from the track. But I think any race car driver is going to say that they don't like a track that they're not good at. You know, if you show up to a racetrack, it could be any track, and you run good, then, you're going to say it's your favorite track or you love it. And if you don't run well there, then usually you're not going to like it. But, no, I think Seekonk's a great track.
So is your favorite track Five Flag Speedway?
Well, I don't have a favorite track because no matter what, I'm going to have to go, you know, if I don't like a track, it doesn't matter. I still got to go and race there. You know, I got to go and try and win. So I try to like every track and prepare and, do my best, you know?
So that was the right answer.
Yeah. Sounds like your favorite track's the next one that you pick up a win at.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and so on. I think the last question that we have that pertains to you, Ryan Borges says, for Gio, what are your goals for the rest of the 2024 season? And where do you see yourself your career in 5 years?
Well, my goals for the rest of the 2024 season is definitely to win the Snowball Derby at the end of the year. Lost that one last year, ended up finishing second. And I, like I said, I'd love to win the ARCA East Championship. I think that'd be a cool deal. You know, all the big time super races, I'd like to win those as well. So I think it'll be a good year. We've had a good start for sure, winning the two races at Speed Weeks and having a good run with me and Cole Butcher Sunday in the super and having a good run in the ARCA car as well. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the year for sure.
You know what Cole Butcher's really good at? The Oxford 250. So you should probably come try that one out.
Yeah, I would love to come and race some past races up north. If we can get a deal figured out, that would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. And so do you think like going to Pensacola, obviously, and winning an ARCA race, running in the top three in the ASA race, and then finishing second last year in the Snowball Derby just gives you that much more confidence going into this season? Or at least this year's Snowball Derby.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of confidence going into the Derby. I think the Wilson cars are super good there in the long run. I really, looking back, I mean, they won the Chandler Smith. Last year, we struggled a little bit in qualifying. We all qualified, like, I qualified dead last. Cole qualified maybe one or two spots in front of me. And everybody else on the team qualified around the back. But as soon as the green flag dropped, we drove right through the field. So I think last year we were really good. The year before that, all of our cars were really good. And the year before that, they won with Chandler Smith. So I think we'll have another good year. Hopefully we can learn some more, you know, some more things with the car to make it even better going into this year's Derby.
Well, I'd say that, you know, for Charlie and I, at least, we don't get to many of your races nowadays now that you're out running the ASA stuff. But I was at Hickory last year. You picked up the win there. And then we were at the Snowball Derby where we finished second. So I'm delighted to tell you that we will be at the Snowball Derby again this year. And I'm sure that hopefully you can get one spot better. Unless Charlie has anything more. Charlie usually has one question that finishes us off.
Yeah, so we usually cap this off with the same question as everybody, and we started off the same way usually too. But I mean, obviously, you've talked about your rise from starting at Seekonk, and now you're winning ARCA races on the big show here. So, you know, everybody goes to the racetrack for different reasons. Obviously, some people love the speed, some people love the just the people, the atmosphere, whatever it may be. But for you specifically, Gio Ruggiero, what is it that makes you have to be at the racetrack each and every week?
What do I love most about being at the racetrack?
Yeah.
Winning.
That was the right answer.
There is no feeling like it. Like, there's nothing that just gets you so rock hard like winning a race.
I mean, even if you win, like you were saying at GoPro, like,
oh, I celebrated like I won fucking the Derby when I won the first go-kart race.
If you just go out there and you're fastest guy at GoPro, you're going to be in a bad mood. No, I mean, you just beat everybody there by raw talent.
Yeah, I've heard nothing other than Bob and you swapping it out for the lead. You got by him on the last lap. Bobby's all bummed out about it. Then we go in and check the speed charts. I was faster than Bob. I've been patting myself on the back in silence all week.
Raced inside these inflatable bubbles the other night at a hockey game, and Charlie won a race that we intentionally was going to stage and make it entertaining, and it didn't. No, he just sprinted off and dominated the race, and we the same thing. Haven't heard anything but it since then.
Yeah. And it was great for me.
That's good.
Yeah.
You have to have a winning mentality. You know?
Yeah.
You have to do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, even during sex. Like, sex is a race, and I win every time. It's how it works, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Gio's old enough to have sex yet.
Oh.
Gio's
like
in the
with
gym
us or just generally?
Gio's in the gym working on his fitness.
Mm. Yeah. So that he can.
I don't know that you can fit two people in the simulator. Anyways, Gio's got to go spot for Brandon Wilkinson at Millbridge Speedway. So
tell him I said he sucks.
Yeah.
All right, I will do it. He ran pretty good last race there. So my crew chief, Dennis, I'm pretty sure he's racing, and a couple other guys on the team are racing. So
what is it, that DNQ, the DNQ deal or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I know they have the DNQ, and then I think they have the buggies as well that they might be racing. I know that Bob, the tire guy, I think someone was wrecking him. He either wrecked someone or they wrecked him, but I think they got into a fight a couple weeks ago about it.
Well, you'll have to send Bob and I and Charlie a couple snaps of B Wilkes going out there and wheeling the piss out of it.
I will hopefully
it's not when he's getting carved up or getting flipped into the grandstands or anything. No, like that, but
he's got a gold wrapped helmet and a gold wrapped go-kart, so I'll send you a video of him leading in the gold go-kart.
I love that.
Floyd Mayweather out there.
Yeah. Of course he does, but it's been a long time coming. We've been trying to get you on probably, it's been at least twice now, but glad that we finally did, and it's after you did something pretty cool, so congrats on your success, and congrats, or hopefully you'll have more success, I guess, in the rest of the year, and we'll see you whenever we see you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you, man. See ya.
All right.
Race car, here we go, race car.